would find her. But
Hello.
Pabst Blue Ribbon!
All right. I hear myself, so it must be working. Correct? Got a lot of Twitter messages saying we should play...
The Lockucaracha button's working.
We should play Sheet Writer more often.
Yeah, well, those people are dumbasses.
Dumas? And... Satisfaction.
Instant gratification. That's what we're all about. Such as when we start the show and we don't start.
Anderson's I think we started early.
Around the hall.
He's
you're
a married
there
man.
By yourself.
He's a married man. He can do whatever he wishes now.
No, he can't. He's married.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
In it's the
fact,
opposite.
In fact, if anything. Look at these funky seats in here. Holy smokes. It's like a 60s go-go place.
Just because they're patent leather chairs.
No, the ones over here. The ones over here that have the patterns on them.
What kind of patterns?
The IKEA like discount section.
That is not a description.
Did you know IKEA is a non-profit company?
I have a hard time believing that.
So did I. It was on UberFacts on Twitter.
Well, UberFacts can suck it.
Let me see if they wrote something about that. Uber fact, we in fact cannot suck it. We're a Twitter account.
Well, I'd like to say hello to all those people that are listening to our podcast for the first time and are wondering why other people listen to this.
You know what's funny?
We've been off for like 4 weeks, and we're back strong.
We mention that often about if people tune in early, how terrible it would sound. But every podcast does this, where they ramble and catch up for the first 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, they usually have everyone in the room.
Oh, yeah, good point.
We had a song playing for 4 minutes, and we were all here. And the second the song ends and the show starts, a certain Mr. Cowan is nowhere to be found.
Here he comes.
Sipping his drink. Like, we'll all just
wait
for
him. When an adult man says, "Here he comes." Especially post-Halloween in West Hollywood.
Who's coming where?
You're coming on board of the show train.
Hey.
Whoa. Nice of you to join us, Anderson.
Woo!
Do you realize the conversation the audience was subjected to with you leaving me and Mike to start the show?
No, what was it?
It was nothing. It was nothing good. We talked about IKEA being a non-profit company.
Don't sell us short.
IKEA should be a non-profit. That's a great topic.
It is a non-profit.
You know what else should be a non-profit? It's China.
Hell yeah.
I think it's kind of hard.
We get a discount on rice.
I would love to have a very ignorant conversation with you two later tonight all about China. And how they're a communist country.
Let's do it.
All their people are poor. Somehow the government finds ways to buy everything, including Big Bird.
I think
all
we can probably find a topic that we know even less about and act as if
I know nothing about that.
Am I loud enough?
You have no bass.
Can you add some bass?
I am so excited to be in here, guys. I've been talking about this for weeks. I was in Fiji.
I know.
Looking at my wife. Saying, I wish I was doing an after disaster right now. Swear to God, that happened.
Nothing gets
nothing gets
the ladies revved up like telling them that you'd rather be doing an after disaster.
I missed it too, and I missed you, and I will say something about this. I think that last show we did was one of the best shows we've ever done.
It was awesome.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So Jillian should be in the hospital more often, is that what we're saying?
I will say that the tension that arose when you pulled out her IV.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that.
Wasn't that awesome?
The tension was more so when he said, "I'm going to try and put it back in."
Yes.
That was the real tension.
There was a part two to that story that happened off air after the show was over. And I told Drew that part of the story. And Drew told me that if I was his patient or Jillian was his patient and he was the doctor in charge, I would have been arrested and I would have missed my honeymoon entirely because I'd be in jail.
You banged.
Let's hear it.
There's not much payoff.
You put the IV in your penis.
But Drew, such a goddamn pab, and so conventional wisdom, and go by the book, and this is the way that things should be, and this is the way that the board has set it up, and I'm not trying to do a bad Drew, but that's how Drew can kind of be at times. And when I was telling him the story, what happened, he was laughing, but then he said, "Oh, if I was your doctor, I would have had the police come." Here's what happened. Guy, couple doors down, I don't know if you guys were on air with us when it happened, but a guy lit up a cigarette in his room. Were you guys aware of that?
Oh, yeah, no. They're like, "It smells like smoke," and you guys were like, "Not us," even though you were trying to do the great escape to go smoke.
Jillian immediately had a nicotine fit. She needed a cigarette, so I get that. When I was in the hospital with my broken back, I actually wheeled the whole IV thing out and went out with my ass flapping in the wind, and I smoked, because I was in the hospital for like 12 days, so once I could walk after like the eighth day.
We can hear that beep, Mike, and it's
so
annoying.
I'm trying to take pictures
really
of
annoying.
Us. I got me, I got Anderson.
Exceptionally annoying.
Well, this thing beeps. I don't hear it.
Because you're tone deaf, dude. It beeps loud.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Jeez Louise.
He had to put it in his ear to hear it. Christ.
He was doing it next to a microphone and took the headphones off that are relaying the noise from that microphone to hear it.
It's totally true, everything that Tyler just said.
I'm genuinely deaf. I'm sorry.
So listen, essentially they said, "Hey, you can't go." Straight out told him. I said, "I don't like IVs. They're hospital handcuffs. I'm going to take this off my wife. She's going to go have a cigarette."
My wife.
She's on a lot of morphine, and smoking on drugs is awesome. And they didn't seem to understand the humor nor the reality of that statement. So they said, "You can't do that. We'll call the doctor." It's like 2:30 in the morning now. And I said, "Well, you're not going to wake up the doctor for this bullshit. No, we're just going to have a cigarette." "I can't do it." I said, "All right, fine." And I thought we had like a mutual understanding. Like they knew we were going to do it, but they were going to look the other way, which is what people should do, right?
You thought you had a wink, wink, mum's the word relationship?
How did you decide you had a mutual understanding
stop
with the hospital?
Stop.
I'm turning it off right now. I don't hear it.
Because I was looking at the gay Filipino male nurse, and I was saying, "You understand, right?" And he's like, "I understand. I think there's a language barrier."
Was he a tranny?
No. But
did he understand in the international language of love?
How did that add to anything?
Well, what do you mean? You looked at him and you knew he understood.
I was looking at him and I said, "Hey, listen, this is what's going to happen, right? And I'm going to take her down there and you're just not going to know." And I don't think he understood what I was getting at. Like, I thought we had a mutual understanding. But so I
what did you base that on?
Because I told him straight up. I said, you're going to look the other way.
If he didn't understand you, how could you assume you had a mutual understanding?
Because he agreed. He's like, he did one of those nod his head things because he didn't understand and he just wanted the conversation to
end.
Our
cleaning guy nods at everything I say.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the after disaster cleaning guy. He always nods at whatever Mike says.
The cleaning guy at the improv.
Hey, a few lines open. 1-800-LOUD-191.
1-800-LOUD.
We'll do a little open and honest. I just got to get cut to the chase here. I figured out how to unplug the IV without blood spewing, spraying.
How?
I didn't use the clamp. So I learned to use the clamp.
Whoa. You did it again after the show?
After we were off with you, I had to take her down to have a cigarette because she was having a nicotine fit. And I know it's awful. I know it sounds white trash.
You can't just bring
some
patches in there and slap them on her?
We weren't really prepared for the day. You know what I mean?
You didn't know after your wedding she was going to go to the hospital?
I'm thinking back in the 50s, too. Everyone just... Yeah. Smoked in the... Your doctor comes
absolutely
with a cigarette. So everyone settled down. We're not that far from
the,
you know.
Can
like
you imagine there was
ago.
A time when the doctor would reach over and light your cigarette for mm-hmm. you?
While telling you about your lung cancer.
There was a time where the doctor had a cigarette
no
in his mouth.
Where it came from.
And he would preach to you about your sexual proclivities and then prescribe you birth control. Just like in Mad Men.
So I take her out the door. I wait for the coast to be clear. It's clear. Because it's like 2:30 in the morning now. And I take her down the hall, and I see my little Filipino man. Mm-hmm. He sees us, but then he immediately just turns left and, like, puts his head down, turns left. I'm like, cool, sticking to the plan. You know, he's turning the other cheek.
A plan he's not aware of.
See no evil, hear no evil, right? So we go down. We're on the sixth floor. We go all the way down. Jillian's a bit woozy. She's on drugs, post-op. And we get outside, and she's having a cigarette in the little courtyard. We're not down there for half a cigarette when not one, not two, but a third nurse, all three nurses, a charge nurse who I never even met yet, come down there with a wheelchair. And they look very pissed.
I bet they were.
They're angry. And they come out in the courtyard and they're just giving us looks like, what the fuck do you think you're doing? And I'm like, what about a mutual understanding? And then I'm like saying, hey, guys, none of you have ever smoked? Nope, of course not. So none of them understand. Yeah. None of them get it. You know. Nope. So I tell Drew this story and he goes, oh, I would have had you arrested.
Jesus, for that?
He called it. He said it was kidnapping because she was under
That's not kidnapping.
And then fucking Catherine would start chiming in. Yeah, man, what if she got hit by an ambulance, man? And, you know, it would be totally on the hospital, man. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about lawyers and that shit. She wanted a cigarette.
Is that Mike or was that Tommy Chong?
That's what sounds to me.
Chong was there,
yeah,
too.
Man.
Hey, why didn't you...
why are we not on video right now? Because I look pretty sweet.
Why didn't you pull out her IV and put the cigarette in the other end? And let her smoke through her veins.
Mike liked that one. So anyways, yes, Drew said I'd be in jail. What do you guys want to talk about? Because I have a few things.
All right.
Well, neither one of us went to Fiji, so we should probably talk
seriously.
To the guy that went to Fiji and banged Indian bitches.
Did not do that. Last night was Halloween. I have some hilarious trick-or-treating mishaps because now that I'm renting a house, I actually
Were you prepared?
Have to deal with... Oh, yeah. Overly prepared.
How many kids?
One.
And two,
five different parties or just five kids at once?
Five different groups of kids came.
Five different groups of one kid wandering by himself.
Wasn't good.
Did he change?
Want to talk about a plan that I have for the three of us and maybe our lady friends? I'll say some nice things about mom.
As long as it's not when high school's in session.
Want to bitch about the new app on this for playing podcasts?
As long as we wait till winter break.
It's
like,
terrible.
Awful.
It's terrible. And it keeps running, too, when you unplug your phone or leave the car.
We'll get
keeps...
to that, because I have stories that are awful that include that, that involve that.
Does it involve our show playing in inappropriate times?
No. Bill Burr, though, who loves to say cunts, and it doesn't work out in public.
Mm.
For me. In line. It's happened twice
Thank
now.
Thank God we don't say that.
Want to talk about my wiener? And I have a great story about sharks, because I swam with them.
Wow.
And that story involves driving to the place, and if stories were related, this driving story that I will tell later would be a first cousin of the tire chain story.
Ooh.
Everyone
wow.
excited about
Holy
that?
Smokes.
Huh?
What is the over-under we get to more than two of these stories?
Well, I would like to talk about my unwarranted anger over something
warranty,
that has nothing to do
warranty.
With me. I would also like to talk about Halloween, I guess. I don't have anything planned, but... There's a couple things that bug me about it.
You don't have anything planned?
No.
Halloween is over.
Didn't make any notes.
Oh, I see.
But I did have an issue with anger today, or yesterday, that I can't figure out, and it drove me nuts. And I think it's a symptom of other bigger issues in my life. Basically, two comics were having a Facebook war, and one of the guys was yelling at the other guy for not putting him on a show, and then he basically shut the first comic down.
And you said, come on ours.
It was very angry.
I did not.
It was very angry, a lot of vitriol. And I I barely know one of the guys. I've only spoken with him maybe five times in my life. Just a hi and a bye. I don't know him, but I like him, and I've never met the
Dane
other guy.
Cook.
Never met the other guy or heard of the other guy in my life. By the time I read this while I was driving down Wilshire, I was so livid. I had already decided I hate the other guy, and he should die, and I started writing a response. And then I realized, whoa, what am I doing? Why am I wrapped up in the two strangers' fight? Like, why am I involved?
That means you were having a good Mike Carano day, and nothing was actually bothering you.
It's not good.
And you had to latch onto someone else's problems because you were actually having
I just involuntarily latched on when I read it on a Facebook post. Ian Bagg is one of the comics who he's the guy I like. I don't know who the other guy is.
Ian Bagg?
Yeah, he's a cool guy. Considering I've only had no conversations with him.
None.
You know, I say, hey, what's up? And he's like, what's up with you? Nothing. And then 2 months later, I assume, hey, what's going on? Yeah, I don't know what's going on
with
you.
Let's catch up. Nothing.
Yeah, let's catch up. We're done. Caught up.
Oh, hey, everybody. Guys, congratulations on being nominated for a Stitcher Award.
Are you serious?
Oh, wrong show. This is
uncomfortable.
It was a film vault that got.
Did you really? How does that happen?
Well, you make 1,000 fake accounts.
I have to talk to Rune. Rune, real quick, this is totally off topic for anyone listening, but Rune, are you going to be screwed that we didn't do what we usually do? Are you okay? You can go home?
He'll do it tomorrow, whatever that means.
Okay, you're going to do it tomorrow? Okay, cool. Sorry, guys. Cut that out. Cut that out.
I'm not going to
cut it out.
No, so I don't edit anymore.
You guys got nominated for a Stitcher Award, whatever that is?
Yeah. I like how Mike was all excited about it. And he's like, really? And then he's
I just heard award.
What is it?
I would like to thank our fans that nominated us in every single category. People went through and they're like, yeah, you're the best science podcast. Why not? Best finance podcast. Yeah, put things in the freezer. Fantastic tips. So we probably got most nominations across all categories.
Okay, I don't mean to take away from your fantastic nomination, Anderson. But can you imagine, so it's the podcast awards, and anybody can go in there and nominate people. Can
you imagine, like a really rich guy.
Can you imagine the havoc that takes place? Like, hypothetically, if they said, Oscar's open to anybody, it would be like, my friend made a film about him and his cat.
Well, this is like the MTV awards, right? It's just a bunch of people.
It is
voting.
Like that. But
it's an interesting thing.
All-star games.
Let's look ahead to the
future. We
have
great listeners.
50 years from now, when it's actually a legitimate awards ceremony, you're going to be part of that. You're going to be tied in. It's like the Stanley Cup.
I'll be like the wings.
You're the first guy that got your name
on
the Stanley
Cup. Do you think we'll win a lifetime achievement? Like we're like that artist who everyone stole their music.
Here we go talking about the show on the show again.
We never got any respect.
Here, the fat guy's going to win. We don't stand a chance.
Who's the fat guy?
Kevin Smith. I mean,
does he have a movie podcast?
Yeah, he's got like four.
He's got one called Fat Man on Batman, which is all Batman related.
So great. Listen.
Hey, what's this about a certain guy making a podcast network?
We're not going to talk about that. So, what are we?
You're making a podcast network?
Not me, no. Hey, last night, trick or treating. All right. Mm-hmm. The wife and I at home, feeling like an actual adult. It's really, really bizarre.
Was it Halloween? If you know the word?
It was like 4:30 in the afternoon when I'm like, shit, should have candy on hand because we're going to have trick or treaters. So I went down to the local Ralph's supermarket owned by Ron Burkle.
Disappointed.
He owns the Pittsburgh Penguins. So I always.
Oh, really? And he owns Ralph's?
He started with that's where he got his millions, billions. To buy the Penguins. He had a dream to buy the Penguins, so he started a supermarket chain.
Is that his living male companion's
name? Low prices, fresh fare.
Bye, Annie. Have a good weekend.
Good night.
I like the prices.
I'll tell you one thing. I like Ralph's better than Vons now. Every time I go to Chevron, which I'm going to stop getting gas at, every time you put your card in this, are you a Vons Rewards Quart?
They do the same thing at Shell.
Shell has the Ralph's one.
Bitch about it on the show. I said, I got to sit through ads just to get gas.
I like the food.
So, Anderson, you guys strike me as the kind of couple that would go with something more unique than just going and getting mini fun-size candy bars at Ralph's.
Shit. I went to Ralph's and I got two of the exact same bag.
You should have gone to that weird Asian restaurant and bought like weird candy.
Should have given him celery.
Jillian went out with her friend, went trick-or-treating with her friend and their friend's kid.
What'd you wear?
You guys met the girl.
You just wore a kimono naked underneath?
Yeah, I sat home and just gave out candy. Okay.
Gave out candies. Euphemism.
First girl is still bright outside. The first girl comes with ding dong. Dog's going
ding
crazy.
Dong!
Open the door, and it's a very rotund little 8-year-old girl, probably dressed as Cleopatra, seemingly by herself.
Did you ask
Cleopatra
of a meatball?
Mom was nowhere in sight. Dad was nowhere to be found. She was just by herself. She was going rogue, right? And I made the cardinal sin, rookie mistake of
take
holding
as many
the entire.
As you want.
Didn't even say that. I just held it out. She takes three with the first. grabbed, Reggie style.
Reggie style.
Three.
Oh, yeah.
She got the deuce.
Opa,
I mean,
Reggie style.
What's the word for three?
Trifecta. Hat trick.
The word for three is three.
I said deuce by accident.
She goes in with a chunky hand for the second one. Grabs, I think, three, maybe four.
She had a normal hand and then a chunky hand?
No. Mm. The first hand was chunky as well.
What if she put some of that baseball stick-em stuff on their hands, like, so they
just
can
roll
it around?
Oh, that's a great idea. Just run up.
You just
smack,
put the flat,
and then run off.
The palms of your hands in.
Also,
like
that'd
20
be football, because that would not be helpful in baseball.
So I'm still rationing this point, because I'm picturing, like, you know, hordes of kids coming in, like, and I'm going to run out. And the last thing you want to do is run out, because then the tricks begin.
Please tell me you reached back in your bag and took candy.
Then you got to start cutting them in half, and that's really cheesy.
She's coming in for a – that's real cheesy. So she's coming in for a third, and I find – swear to God, I wasn't trying. It was one of those things where it was just happening, and I was like, this is happening right now, and I'm not even, you know, it's involuntary. I'm boxing her out. I'm like turning to her, and I'm saying, that'll do. That'll do. And my elbow kind of nudged her away.
It's just, that'll do, King.
You should have turned into a parent and taken her by the ear to her parents' house to report how selfish and greedy she is.
She goes,
is
thank you.
Anyone missing a fat Cleopatra?
Close the door, and I go inside, and I'm just like mortified. I'm just looking down.
She's
I'm
looking
saying,
through
chilling.
The window.
I just told that. Did you hear me tell the little rotund girl that'll do? She's like, no, you shouldn't do that, though. I'm like, I know. 5 minutes goes by. Ding dong. Open the door.
Ding dong.
There's like a 14-year-old girl who's obviously mentally challenged, maybe a little blind.
Mm-hmm.
And she's and she's with what appears to be her housekeeper. Okay, it really is a housekeeper. Like, it's not her mom. It's a housekeeper who barely speaks English. And
that's what you think. It was really a super clever costume.
That's really clever. Really well.
Here's where we're going.
Possession.
I'm going to be retarded. You're going to be my Puerto Rican housekeeper.
So she's standing there, and she's wearing just like a red shirt that has like a few cuts in it, like a few slices in it, to make it look like she's been like cut up or like beat up or something. So I said, "What are you? Are you just a victim?
A Microna victim?
I'm like, are you a victim? And then her housekeeper goes, "Oh yes, she is retarded.
Oh my god! What?
And I'm like, no, I'm in her costume.
What?
So I give her like 10 candies because I feel so fucking mortified and awful.
Again, you should have walked to the parents' house and said, I just want to fill you in on what your housekeeper is saying about your lovely daughter.
Are you dressed up as a victim? Oh, yes.
They're like, our lovely one or the retarded one? You're like, okay, lost cause.
So I turn her, I go back inside. I said, Jillian, can you please do this? Because I am obviously not cut out to give out candy on Halloween. I just don't know what to do. I can't do it. It was awful.
What was your response to that? Did you just
I'm like,
stare?
No, I meant her costume. I meant
what
she
was
wearing. What was
her costume?
It was just like her black and red shirt with cuts on it.
No, but what was the answer?
I got retarded. That's all I got.
No, but
I never got an answer other than, oh, yeah, she is.
Maybe the housekeeper doesn't know she's mentally retarded and was just judging her costume. She's retarded.
Really believe.
I said go with Batgirl. And she went with retarded cuts.
That I was like just some guy in the street or some guy in his house giving out candy, and I wanted to point out to the fact, oh, is she mentally challenged? Like loud and clear.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Did you guys go out, Tyler?
No.
Because it all hell breaking loose in my neighborhood. Choppers overhead for hours.
Why?
You know, because of the West Hollywood Halloween extravaganza, masquerade, gay pride,
hey,
whatever you want to call
it. Hey,
are
we streaming right now? Because apparently everyone's very upset.
What? I don't know.
Wouldn't they be upset if we were streaming?
I feel bad for everybody. Well, I mean, I feel good because everyone's talking about how disappointed they were and how pissed off they were. And they're just going to talk. Whether or not because it's just not on.
What do you mean it's not on?
I'm reading. What the fuck? They wanted to do a good show, so they're only going to stream the last 20 minutes? That's hurtful, Scott.
It makes sense that it's not streaming because we only have two phone calls.
I got to wake up early and I stayed up late for this. God damn it. Can you do it on your own, Ty Ty, just for to appease the...
Well, I got to go look. I don't even know what would be causing it to...
Fucking rune, man.
Everything's in program like 3 and 4, which is usually what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a stream issue because we were on at one point. But I don't want to lose Ty Ty because I got to talk about Feej.
All right, let's talk about something else. Feej sounds like a euphemism for vag. Wait, vag is the euphemism for vagina. Sorry, Feej doesn't sound like that at all.
No.
I'm glad you're back.
I'm glad. It's good to be back.
How long has it been since we've done a show?
Like in here? Maybe 3 weeks, maybe longer.
God, that's crazy, right?
Yeah. I forgot how to do it.
So did I.
Yeah.
The last show was good, though.
Last night's when I did the film vault yesterday, I was way off my game, and I reverted back to making fun of Brian's tumor, which is not something I enjoy.
Yeah, we haven't
doing.
Been streaming this entire
easy
time.
One. Are we streaming now?
No, I got to get it up and running. We'll probably be, I don't know, we'll probably be like 10 minutes.
Got to get it up. Tyler, I don't get it.
When they reset all the stuff back there, it didn't save the after disaster settings. So Rune hit stream and then walked away, and it cuts off after like 1 second because the settings don't work. So he was like, "You're live."
Does that mean after disaster Ustream account? It just went out on the Loveland account for like 10 minutes.
Whatever. Everyone listened on Friday in their cubicle. They don't. This doesn't affect them. So
look, you people like the prices, okay?
I like the
things free.
I like the prices. That's a very inside thing for children.
You sent me a text saying that Fiji sucked, I genuinely was like, wah, 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 what a dud. And I really thought you were serious.
No, Fiji's awesome. In fact, the first 2 days I was there, okay, here's Fiji. I get there, and everyone's very nice. The resort's very nice, and the people are exceptionally nice. You always read in books and whatnot, you know, come to Central America. Everyone is so nice. The culture is so beautiful.
Books on tape for me.
I don't buy that shit. I don't believe any of it, but... Fiji, it seemed like it was true, but it's like, you know, they hire really friendly people at the resort. I went into town. It's a third world country. I mean, back in the day when it was quaint, but the huts are gone. Now they just build houses and treat them so they look like shit, and it looks very, very third world, which it is.
Isn't it funny that a third world country is like paradise?
It's strange in the fact, see, Hawaii is America, so you can only own that and build it up and make it opulent and, you know, really pussy.
But it's not
built
up.
You're not allowed to own
it. That makes sense. But Fiji, like, you see those pictures of travel websites, going out with the bungalows on it with their glass floors, and it looks like paradise.
Oh, it is. It's paradise. But it's a third world country. And I'm in their town, right?
You just mean economically, right? You don't mean like
they're
not like
sticks.
Eating dogs and stuff, are they?
Yeah, but like,
which part?
The butt part. But the food. First part about Fiji. Terrible. Awful. I expect to eating like fresh fish every day and like, you know, pulling mangoes off the tree.
Does it seem like there's a lot of...
I was having like freeze-dried soup and like top ramen and chips.
Yeah.
I was eating like Jillian because their food was just awful. I went to like a nice restaurant, ordered some kind of stir fry, and it's the saltiest shit I'd ever eaten.
Hey, you could have called your old pals at the after disaster, and we would have FedExed you something.
Would have been nice, man. I was actually ready to come home just because the food was
pack?
So bad.
Fiesta pack wrapped in dry ice.
I don't think I had any vegetables or fruits while I was there.
Hey, did you get a sense there's any voodoo going down there?
But it is the old place of cannibals. There was cannibals up to 1870.
The most recent place, right?
Yeah.
That's the old place is probably.
Most recent place, yeah. In
I'm
1870,
sure, like, Eve chopped her finger off Adam's.
I don't think that happened. I didn't hear that part.
Made a caveman noise.
Is there a Bible book on tape?
I mean, that's the most home history.
I go into town, Sigatoka town. Sigatoka. And, Sigatoka. And it's very, it's one of those places where they, you know, we have little farmers markets here in America, and it's like people bring their goods and. But it's all like bullshit. I mean, it's real, but it's like they have the actual.
No,
market.
It's real. Those are real farmers.
But in Sigatoka town in parts of Fiji, they have like actual huge central markets where everyone brings their goods, and they're there 6 days a week from like, you know, 8 a.m. till 6 p.m.
How much stuff do they throw away, do you think?
Not much. They eat it if they. But anyways, I'm in town, and everyone is so goddamn nice. And I'm thinking, what the fuck do these people want from me? It's like 60% Fijians, 40% Indians, like people from India. Mm-hmm. Back when the. English came in and settled it, and the Methodists came and converted them from heathen cannibals into Methodists. They immediately tried to put them to work, and the Fijians were like, hey, we'll take your language and we'll take your religion, but we're not going to fucking work for you. Go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? We're going to stay with tribes. So they went and they imported a bunch of Indians to do all the manual labor, and there's 40% of the population is still Indian. Couldn't it be nicer people? And I was thinking, what do they want?
Do they have accents?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, how was that when they were born there?
I don't know what that means. Oh, do the Indians have accents?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're a little different than other. I'm sure it sounds very different to, like, Indians from India. But, yeah, you can. It's not that Indian, Tyler. Different Indian. It's the other
and
Indian.
They didn't go to America and steal Cherokees and bring them to Fiji?
They didn't do that.
That would be kind of awesome. If you can go back in history, that would be awesome.
This is how nice they are. So I need all the plugs are different. It's shit into the wall. Because I have the different plugs because it's like on the other side of the world. So I need a little adapter so I can plug my stuff in. So I can plug my walkie-talkies in.
Yep.
I'm going into town. I'm going to like two different places. They don't have it. They told me about a third place. I go there. They don't have it. And the guy's like, you know what? Try this place down the street. You want to go in the chemist, in the chemistry place. I'm like, all right. So I'm walking down the street. All of a sudden, the guy's – it's like I'm a block down the street. The guy's tapping me on the shoulder. The guy was in the other store, worked in the other store. He followed me out, and he started going to the wrong place. He tapped me on the shoulder. He's like, no, here, I'll show you where it is. And he takes me to the store, and he helps me find it in the other store.
That's nice, but and when he says store. The chemistry place, what does that mean?
They call it chemistry, but it was just like a
pharmacy?
Home Depot
pharmacy.
Type place. No, it wasn't even pharmacy. It was like,
you didn't ask where the chemicals are?
Nope. I just wanted my little adapter.
What?
One of my adapter.
Wouldn't you ask where the chemicals were, Tyler? Speaking to you,
it's one of my adapter.
I think it's nice that you guys have a little family and you sat at home and gave out candy to the kids.
Okay, we're not talking about that anymore.
No, I think it's nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we're streaming.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the After Disaster. I'm Anderson Cow, and that is Mike Carano.
I'm not a big... I know you guys
this
love Halloween.
Saving radio.
At least according to your... According to the story about your relationship, but I don't understand. I don't get it. Like, I don't get... It's just people that want to get drunk and get laid, aside from the kids, and that's just every bar, every
I don't
night.
Get any kind of trend that, like,
Wait,
takes
what,
off.
What?
We're talking about Halloween and how it's popular. Because, like, in the 80s, it was popular for kids, but now it's becoming really popular for adults.
I'd say it's more popular for adults
for
now.
For sure, but it wasn't when we were kids.
I heard someone saying that there was, like, a big Coors Light ad around about Halloween and, like, turned it into a party, like, in the 80s or something like that. It
really?
Was like, there was, like,
I heard this thing that might may not be true.
I think there were always Halloween parties because you see not footage, but you see old movies and stuff in the 50s and they're getting dressed up. Only they It was more elegant back then. You know what I don't like is businesses that let people dress up.
Yeah, man.
All right, that's all I got. No, but you know, like I was in Wells Fargo and everyone's dressed up and I was like, this is goddamn retarded.
All right, we're streaming. Hello, everybody. Sorry about that. Blame Rune.
Because it looks unprofessional.
What's Rune's email?
Rune@pabs.net.
Really?
If Wells Fargo, first of all, it just proves that you're not professional and you're immature if you're wearing a costume to Wells Fargo.
It's fun.
It's not fun.
It's fun.
What if you're a business person? You're like working on your fucking business mortgage, and the woman's like, "Can't help you. I'm a cat."
Wait, were they in Wells Fargo? Were they really dressed up at Wells Fargo?
They're not character actors. It's because they're dressed like Dracula.
Can you help me with this?
Were they really dressed up?
Yeah.
Really? That's stupid. Yeah. I went to my Chase today or yesterday.
Guess
and
what?
Dressed up.
None of them were slutty. They were all wearing like respectable.
Well, that's
costumes.
Why you're mad.
Drew came up with. He was talking about how people dress up as sluts, like slutty whatever's on Halloween. You know the one example that he pulled. Last night on Loveline. You know, like they dress up like slutty waitresses.
Like sorority.
Somebody wearing lingerie holding a plate? What is that?
I don't know.
A serving tray?
I haven't seen a slutty looking waitress in a long, long time.
You're going to the wrong restaurants,
man,
brother.
What are you talking
about? Gotta go to the Tilted Kilt. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what that means.
The Tilted Kilt, that place that we went to in...
Nope. That place sucked. No, I mean, it was good, but they sucked at the same time.
Why do you think it sucked?
They like weren't ready for us, Anderson. That Irish place that we went to dinner before your
wedding. My wedding reception. I mean my rehearsal dinner.
I sensed there was gonna be a lot of tension once Mickey's coat was missing. I thought it was gonna be
what was missing? Who's Mickey?
Much like your phone or your wallet in the Benihana.
1-800-LOUD-191. Call us up, guys.
Mickey thought somebody stole his coat, so we ended up hanging around about an extra half an hour.
I didn't know any of that happened.
And he's very calm and cool about it.
Did I take it home or something?
But he wouldn't leave. Yeah,
your sister had it.
Okay. Sounds like her. Okay. Well, you guys want to hear an awesome story? I think it's awesome.
Yes, absolutely. Is it about Fiji?
Might take a minute, though. Takes place in Fiji. Cars.
But the story could take place
anywhere. So you didn't like the food?
No, couldn't take place anywhere. This is a strictly Fijian story. Okay. Very unique.
Ooh, do they have Fiji apples there?
No.
Oh, no, those are Fuji apples. Never mind.
Yes.
Different
I did that a few times.
Fiji apples sound
better than Fuji apples.
I'm like,
oh, this is where the film
is made.
Fiji film. I did that a few times.
It
seems like
too salty. It doesn't develop.
To me, it seems like I'd be in Fiji and I'd see chickens with no heads running around for some reason.
No.
Yes,
you're thinking
Mike.
Of New Orleans or something.
Yes.
You're
thinking
of
French Polynesia.
I'm totally thinking of New Orleans.
There's
you're
nowhere
right.
where chickens run around without heads on.
No, there is. That one chicken, remember?
Yes, the one chicken. Yeah. Mike the chicken.
I don't know why.
Chicken.
I understand what Fiji is. It's
from
got
like
that
the
crystal 30s. Clean green water.
Quick disclaimer to the listeners. This is going to be a 45-minute story because I have
Nemo's
not gotten
swimming around.
One half sentence
crystal
out
clear green water.
Yeah, with Nemo in there.
You know what they do is they trick you over there because they ask you like if you're in a bar or something, you want some Fiji water? And it's like, isn't it all Fiji water? Yeah, just give me some fucking tap Fiji water. Next thing you know, you got like a $5 Fiji bottle sitting in front of you. I'm like, oh.
That's like $50 shit. In there.
Yeah,
money.
Tell me they don't fill it, baby, from the tap. Cheaters.
I took
it. Eaters.
Jillian, we were sitting there having breakfast, like first morning we were there, and Jillian says, hey, take a picture of the Fiji water in Fiji for Mike. So
I liked it.
It was pretty sweet.
You're right, though. I am confusing it with New Orleans because I keep thinking they're going to come out. Hey, you're down.
It's a common mistake.
Fiji, you want some, gumbo?
Mike, most people confuse crawdad. Fiji and New Orleans.
Hey,
you
Barbados
know.
And Dallas are like the same place in my head.
They got like the guy with the old he's playing the washboard and stuff.
No,
you're like,
not,
Fiji,
not where
sweet.
I was. I don't know why you would think
are they playing
that. Is that
steel?
What you're thinking when you're drinking your water? You're thinking, this came from...
some nice Louisiana men did made
you,
the Carnival.
Answer this question. Did you see one person playing steel drums?
No. Well, they don't do that.
Oh, that's
there.
Jamaica, right?
Yes.
And Trinidad and Tobago.
You can tell I've never been anywhere.
And the opening of True Romance, steel drums. And the opening of Badlands. Same song.
And the opening to...
Hey, what do poor musicians do? Steal drums.
Hey, Mike, I want to tell you this. I really appreciate you doing everything you did at my wedding, even if you did fuck up numerous times. But
thank you.
It was great. If I hired... or hired. If I asked somebody to officiate my wedding who like did it for a living and I was expecting them to do it properly, I would have been furious. But I knew that it was going to be like a, you know, rolling the dice with you. I never dreamed that you wouldn't have read the goddamn thing at least once.
I don't feel like I properly expressed my thanks to you guys.
Didn't think that you were going to skip the vows. But nonetheless, you did a great job.
I didn't think so either.
Everyone seemed to love it. And I know that, you know, being in that kind of situation with everyone fucking loaded, drunk. Everyone was drunk there. That must have been tough for you a couple times.
That wasn't tough. It was. Good. I was so nervous that I was going to screw up your wedding. Mm-hmm. And I was very honored and very, very nervous.
Would have been nice if you could take in a couple belts and calm down a little bit.
Yeah. You know, in retrospect, I wish I would have.
Could you relapse and, you know, like even things out a little bit?
It would have been, if I was drunk, that would have been so much fun.
We got to do the vows like 2 hours later downstairs, and it worked out just fine. And that's when I slapped the best man very hard. I slapped you during the ceremony.
You did?
Yep. And I slapped the best man during the vows.
Slapped the best man.
Slapped the bass.
That's Jamaican.
Get that.
It was I love you.
That
man.
Was fun. That was a nice, that was a very, very enjoyable time.
I think I might cut up some of the footage. I had like 4 hours of footage. I think I might cut up some of it and I'd post it somewhere.
What is this suspicious looking CD over here?
That's
am I
audio.
To do anything
from,
with this?
No, that's mine.
Oh,
I've got some footage too.
That's audio from the ceremony.
Mm.
I probably
you
have like
play
an hour.
Some of that?
No, not yet.
What?
Because I don't even know what's on it. It's just like unedited. It's just a big file. Tyler, settle down. Settle down.
I can't edit your file, by the way.
Really? Why? Yeah.
It doesn't play when I press play.
I don't know what you're talking about. So listen, we'll talk about all that shit. I'll stay after. I got to clean out the office anyways.
Wait, when you say you're going to edit some of that footage and put it up somewhere, do you mean like on the After Disaster site?
No,
or
like
just in general?
Probably on my site, AndersonCowan.com.
I wouldn't do that. It's a personal thing between you and your wife.
I might edit just
not
some
that
really
video,
small
Mike.
Stuff. A few things here and there.
It's immediately just them fucking.
Wow.
Like, oh, Jesus.
That was very limited because of the
surgery. Now, here's why I wouldn't do it. Like, this is the most proud thing you've ever done in your entire life. It's one of the most personal. It's one of the most loving
really good
gestures you could ever make. You and your beautiful wife together at
don't
your ceremony.
It. I get that.
No, but it's
but
a
it's
very
you
personal,
doing the ceremony.
Here's the
so,
thing. So you, this event to you is a monumental, a point in your relationship
it's
that's
sacred.
Unlike any other point. So you're going to put it on YouTube. What if it only gets like 30 views?
That's not going to happen.
That's
at least,
the problem.
At least 50. All right.
You're going to be looking at it every day going, it's 330, 340.
I'm not you. I don't obsess about numbers. All right. Here's the deal.
Do I obsess about numbers?
You do, apparently. Listen, here's the deal. I'm going to get to this because it's quick.
Okay.
It's easy.
That you
might
get
never
to it. It takes a
stuff.
Long time.
I might never get to the other stuff. But it's a precautionary warning for our listeners.
The calls are pouring in at 1-800-LOUD-191.
You know when you take a lighter and you hold it up to your hand? Doesn't hurt at first, right?
Sort of, yeah.
You can totally do that. Here.
Don't do it.
Oh, come on. Come on.
After that.
Doesn't hurt at all. Nothing.
Okay.
You can get to the point where it can actually get black on your hand. It doesn't hurt. Kind of cool. And it really impresses girls like in junior high. They're like, oh my God. Put out matches with your tongue. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt.
Right? I've never done it, but I've seen it done.
I don't know if you'll ever be in a position or a place, and I'm not going to get into details, where like your wiener's out, you got a lighter in your hand, and you think you can do that for shock value. The pain is immediate and excruciating, and it sticks with you for a few hours.
Were you alone?
Nope.
Were you tumescent, or were you...
sober as can be.
That's fantastic.
That's not even remotely what that word
means. Oh, flaccid. Yes.
Were you in the bathroom at your hotel in
no
Fiji?
Bathroom. I was on a couch at home.
And you just, you were, okay.
Was this
first
before
all,
you gave
you
candy
sit on
to
the couch,
retarded girl? Or
you sit on the
after?
Couch naked?
I just got out of the shower.
Hey, right. Was this part of the Halloween
and you thought,
trick?
Hey,
I was
I'll
trying
light
to
my
be.
Penis.
It was before Halloween. I was trying to be a married man, like where I'm like, hey, my wiener's out, big deal.
Oh, I like.
Look,
the
I got
idea.
A lighter, honey.
What?
I
like that, the what idea. Does that have to do with being a married man?
Guys, you know you're more comfortable. You got your wiener out. Well, we were measuring my wiener with the lighter. I shouldn't be saying any of this. I'm two lighters, by the
Wait,
way.
Wait, what?
Oh, that's not bad.
Not the little baby.
Oh,
bitch.
I know why regular. You're trying to make it black.
I get it. Tight. But I just thought it was like really impulsive. It was like, I'm going to take this flame and just kind of real quick.
Yeah.
It's amazing how sensitive that area is compared to the rest
of
your body.
I can't imagine it.
It was so painful. So
I did.
Quick.
I did whip myself in the dick with the iron cord once, and I was ironing when I was naked, and I unplugged it, and I didn't yank it from the cord. I pulled it out, and it swung by, and I grabbed it to like coil it up, and it just whipped me in the dick.
Whiplash.
It was horrible. But
like why is whipping in the dick the worst combination?
At first, I thought because my dick's a slave, and I'm apparently.
Wow.
What? I was going back on history.
It's a slave and what?
Here's the thing. At first I was like, what the hell? You're burning your dick with a lighter in front of Jillian in your living room? And then my second thought was, oh, if you're doing that, you're probably doing it in front of kids when they're trick-or-treating. Like, wouldn't that be a horrible thing to
dick
see?
Dick or beating.
You come up, trick-or-treat, there's a naked man with his penis outstretched, and he runs a lighter underneath it.
I wonder if that's how crazy, like, Halloween's going to get, like, 50 years from now. It's just like, all right, no more corpses, that's all boring, that's all passe. Now we just do, like, really weird sexual stuff in front of kids, because that's the only thing that can scare them.
Your penis is the opposite of your elbow.
Why would you
can't
think,
feel anything
yeah,
in
total
your elbow
opposite.
Skin?
Everyone take your fingers, your two fingers, and pinch your elbow and try and hurt your elbow. Yeah. Like, take the skin of your fingers and pinch as hard as you can. It doesn't hurt at all.
Then do the same to your penis and
don't
see
do
if, what the differences.
Don't do that. I don't like that you think me doing that in front of my wife is the same as me doing in front of small children.
I don't, but you know what?
Very different.
I gotta say, of all the weird things. No, I take that back. But that is incredible. I've never heard of somebody running a lighter underneath their penis.
That was on the side, and it was so
how?
Quick. Mike, I swear to God, it was like.
But how'd you get the flame quick. To curl around?
No, like it was straight up, and I just kind of like rolled it by.
Oh, you were laying down. Your penis was sticking up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I did a little. Quick,
I thought you
quick.
Like grabbed the skin and held it out, and then.
No. Okay. Here's the thing, guys. Fiji.
Can one of you guys make an artistic diagram of that?
By the way, Australians are the 95% of the clientele over there in Fiji. It's their Hawaii, essentially. And
are they pissed there's no shrimp on the Barbies?
Australians are kind people. Nice people.
Yeah.
Huge people.
I'm not big on the accent, though.
3 out of 5.
Oh, you're a dumb person, then.
No, for guys, I like it. You see this beautiful woman nice. Coming down the street or wherever you see her? Restaurant, bar, make up your own place, car rental behind the counter. And she looks stunning, and then she starts talking with an Australian accent, not
yeah.
nearly as attractive.
Takes her from a 9 to a 10.
Yeah.
Tyler likes his
I don't think
his
so.
Accents.
I do.
Why don't you make your wife
I like
talk
my
like
Anglo
that?
Type accent.
Why don't you send your wife
like
to acting
Irish
school and have
accent,
her learn how to do an Australian
UK accent.
Accent?
Hey, no offense. Offense to
not like
the
English one too.
Australians, but you guys are huge. 3 out of 5 are morbidly obese. They all have small kids.
I thought you meant like in stature
no,
or when they were burning their penises, you could tell they were a lot bigger.
Big, big, huge
Australians.
People over there in Australia.
You don't say the A.
None of them Australia. Are very bright as far as I could tell, but they're all very nice. They remind me of Midwesterners, kind of. You know what I mean? Like from Kansas.
It's tough
no
to
offense
judge,
or Kansas.
Judge an entire country based on a few people vacationing in Fiji.
Not a few, Mike. I interacted
and then,
with
they're like, oh, you
hundreds.
Know, these Americans, they're the kind of people that would burn the dicks with lighters.
Hundreds of them. Really nice, big Midwesterners. And it just kind of pissed me off because it's like America's always, Americans are fat, yeah. lazy, you know. Australians are way fatter than Americans, as far as I could tell, from my small sampling of the tourists.
Yeah.
Your small sampling was a large sampling.
It was a large sampling. You know.
Sometimes I agree with that Americans are fat thing, and then I have to, you know, think back to the times I went to Mexico, and I'm like, yeah.
People are fat.
They're very fat.
People are fat.
No, I think we lead the world in obesity or something.
Yeah, because
like
we have so many people.
It's not why.
There
not,
are countries
no,
that have
average.
Way more people than us.
Who?
India and China.
No,
each got a billion.
Yeah, they're not those countries, the people, the general people in the population don't have access to food like we do. If they had McDonald's in every corner, they'd be fat too. That's a fact.
That doesn't change the fact that we still have the most fat people.
Yeah, because we have money.
Three McDonald's in Fiji.
Yeah.
We worked and we went to two of them.
Did you get fish, which would be really cheesy?
No, I didn't eat anything. I just watched Jillian eat her fries and be happy. I'm like, uh-huh.
Was there anything that was good to eat there?
Eat? No, they have this Kokoda. Which is like the it's coconut milk with raw fish.
Were you not at like a resort where they like had buffets? Or
that's where the saltiest food was. I think they just had a giant like siphon.
So
of
they're
salt.
So pompous that everything's pretty. They're just like, we don't really need to worry about cuisine.
Have you ever heard of a Fijian restaurant? They're just not big on food over there. They just don't really, you know.
They just like eat coconuts out of the tree and just swim.
I did. I ate coconuts that style. Oh my god, Fiji Survivor from Survivor's Fiji like 7 years ago. It was on the. Opposite side of this tiny little island that would take a half hour to walk all the way around. It was right on the other opposite side of where I was.
It was
300.
Look for the immunity idol.
333 islands there, and I was on the one that we're on four islands. We also went. on the island where Castaway was shot.
I'd love to see that. That I love
was
that
like,
movie.
That would
I
take about 20 minutes to walk around that island. No one lives there except for goats, and we a boat took us out there, dropped us off there for an hour and a half. It's pretty cool.
Everything, what happens if there's an emergency?
There's still pieces of the plane there from the movie. They left it there. The coconuts that he spelled and the big logs he spelled out help with on the beach, it's all still there. It doesn't say help anymore, but all that
that's
shit
awesome.
Is still there. It was
you know
really
what?
Cool.
That's the oldest trick in the book for movie production companies. Just like, hey, it's a tourist. You want to keep the
exactly.
garbage?
Why don't we just leave it?
Yeah. And then there's a bunch of the lost stuff still in Hawaii.
The plane was so fake. It was all made of wood. It was obviously a prop.
Now, why did they do that? Because at Universal Studios, they have a complete
we saw
jumbo
the cave
jet.
Where he lived, where Tom Hanks lived.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Where he knocked out his tooth.
Where the yeah, but we couldn't go into it. And apparently, they shot the inside. The interiors were a different place. But the actual cave with the little
they should
coming
sell,
out of
they
the
should
side
sell
of
like little mini ice skates, souvenirs. So the Steven Spielberg, when he shot World of Worlds, had
Tyler,
an actual plane disassembled, brought there, destroyed. And it's still at Universal Studios on the lot. Mm-hmm. It's an entire jumbo jet that
it's
they ripped apart.
Too. It's really cool.
Yeah,
looking.
Why wouldn't they do this for a huge budget picture like Castaway?
Because none of us knew until right now that when Anderson went to Fiji that it wasn't a real plane. And that saved a lot of money.
Yeah. Have you seen that plane at Universal Studios on the tram ride?
It's impressive.
That's incredible, right?
It's really cool.
Yes, but why not just make a fake plane that costs a lot less and no one's going to know unless they take the little boat that takes you to the island
of
goats.
I know now and it's ruined the movie. For
hey, you're the F disaster. How are you? Hello. Wait, what are you doing? Tyler, what is this?
I don't know. I turned on phone one.
That's phone one? Hello.
I was kind of digging it, to be honest with you.
This
I
is, like it.
I think someone put us on hold. Ooh, let's make a song.
I like it.
This is a phone call. Should I tell my story?
Yeah.
Should I tell my
can
first
you do that
cousin?
Hey, in the background?
Oh.
Hey, how are you?
Hey,
how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Christ, I don't like to hear myself. All right, so we'll put that
unless it's down. The whole show.
Turn it down a little tight. This is going to be my first cousin to the tire chain story music.
I like this music.
All right, so this might take a minute, all right? But I think it's a decent story. So I learned that they drive on the other side of the road over in Fiji weeks before I went there. And I said, I have to rent a car. Plus, we love to explore stuff. And like, I don't feel like I'm free unless I got a car. I'm such a Southern California guy. You get that. So I was very excited to drive on the wrong side of the road, sit on the wrong side
steering
of the car.
Steering wheel on the wrong side of the car, too?
Oh, yeah. So I could have rented from Thrifty, could have rented from Budget, could have rented from this coastal center or whatever, three like reputable companies. No, I decided to rent from the guy that I heard about next door to the resort, who it's a bar, a restaurant, a nail salon, a convenience store, and they also rent cars. Right? Here's how the car rental went.
Did you like the prices?
I like the prices, and I like the food. And I said, I need a car for 2 days. And they said, all right, that'll be $200, Fijian. I said, all right.
Bad deal.
Steep, but here you go.
How much is Fijian money?
It's like $1.62 Fijian for every $1 American.
And so, what does their money look like?
Awesome. I got pictures. I'll show you.
Does it have coconuts on it?
Very colorful.
It's just the guy gives him his change in leaves.
It's the only money with the queen on it where she's smiling in the world. Because she's smiling because it was not a conflict when they took... when they took the country.
They're just like, fuck it, you can have it.
Yeah,
so we don't have good smiling. Food anyways. What do you guys make? Oh, fish and chips sounds great. Come on in.
Now, I've never met a Fijian because they don't leave Fiji. Why would you ever leave? And I've never met, and I've never been to a Fijian restaurant because the food is awful.
Did you check the other rental car places after you rented this car from the grocer, nail salon,
what do you mean?
Cutter, barber, sheriff?
I learned that they were like a lot more expensive.
Oh, really?
$150 a day, yeah. Fijian, so that's like $100.
But they're probably
there's like
insured.
Eight cars in Fiji, right?
All the cars there are. There's not many of them. Most of them are taxis, and they're really expensive. You can't get a car for under $20,000 in Fiji, even old ones. Anyways, I don't know why, but that's the deal. So the guy comes. I go to pick it up at 8 a.m.
Wait,
the guy's out.
You need
waxing
a car to drive around an island that only takes 30 minutes to walk around?
No, that's the other little island. The big island we were on for the first half, huge island. Like we drove for 3 hours to get halfway around. It's like a 9-hour drive.
Was it a beautiful drive?
Around. Really pretty, but I'll get to that. So I go down to pick up my car. I'm very excited. 8 a.m. I wake up early, my alarm. I'm going to go pick up my car with a steering wheel on the wrong side of the road.
That's got to be freaky,
very
right?
Nervous, right, yeah. There's a guy out front, Indian guy, and he's a young kid, and he's waxing the car, and he's getting it all cleaned up for me. But there's still shit inside of it, like sunglasses, and it's all like tricked
karate
out.
Karate uniform?
It's got like mag wheels. Like it's a trick. It's their car. It's like the son's car.
I bet.
And me renting it, I gave them $200, and I signed one place. They never asked for a credit card. They looked at my ID for a second. No credit card. I could have just taken that car and never come back.
They probably have friends all around the island.
Probably.
Like this guy, this
probably
Howley.
Probably all recognize that car.
Stole my son's car, even though I know they don't call you Howleys over there.
So
Hawaiian.
What the
very
hell
excited.
Howleys?
And Howley. Like, in Hawaii, they call white people Howleys.
It's in Hawaii. Haven't you seen South Park?
Oh, come they on. Weren't saying howdy to me that whole time?
Howdy.
So I zip away. I'm very excited. Focus, focus. Drive on the right side of the road, or on the right, wrong side, or the left side. Which side is it?
Left.
Opposite side.
Left.
Side. Yeah, left side. So it was very... It was stressful at first, especially because they have roundabouts everywhere. So it was definitely stressful. Go pick up Jillian, and we hit the road. We're going to go down to the Capitol.
It's still freaking me out driving in the other seat because I know this doesn't make sense, but it seems to me if you're sitting on the right side of the car's going to lean to the right.
It felt
which
really
doesn't
weird.
Make sense. But here's the thing that really doesn't make sense is no matter what side of the car you're sitting on, they always make it so you're closest to the other driver coming head on to you. How does that make sense?
No, you're on this. Yeah, so you can see. You can gauge better how close they are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There goes my argument.
How many head-on collisions would it be if it was the opposite? Like
I'm going to clear. It's fine.
Good point. But your body is as close as it can be to the other guy's body. I don't like that at all.
Give or take.
You should be sitting in the middle.
You can high-five that way, though. We should high-five more often when we're going down the opposite direction.
We should. A lot of broken elbows.
Told that Gary Busey story. Hey. Gary Busey in traffic opposite direction.
Yeah.
He told me there was traffic.
Yeah.
Okay. So... Pick her up. We're actually, the entire country shuts down on Sunday, so we lost an entire day. We wanted to go to the Cannibal Oven, which is this cave.
I hope the guy that wrote this song sues us.
That would be awesome. Where they still have human remains, they still have human bones in this cave, but we couldn't go because the tour wasn't going and the whole village shuts down and you're not allowed to go do anything on Sunday.
So you just brought a Halloween costume of a skeleton? Had Jillian slip into the
ray
in the corner.
I really wanted to go to this Cannibal Oven where they actually were eating people. It's 130
I wonder
years
what
ago.
It smells like in there, even though it was a long time ago.
I'm really, that's the one thing we didn't do that I'm really upset about.
Do you believe in like karma and vibe and stuff like that?
No.
Like, do you think if you're in a room where 100,000 people were murdered, that you would sense something different?
Hey, man, do you like
different?
Believe in, like, karma and vibe?
No, but you know, my house is haunted, so yeah, a little
no,
bit.
No, I mean, I'm, you know, if you went to a horrible,
yeah, it's
place,
haunted by decisions of lighting your wiener on fire.
Hey, you know what? This would be a good test. Double-blind study. You take people, you put them in a van, you take them to a cemetery.
I'm guessing this won't be a good test.
And then take them somewhere else nice and see if they could feel something different. And I don't believe in ghosts, and I don't believe in that, but wouldn't it be a great test?
That'd be a great
test. Like, if you took someone to Auschwitz and walked them in, do you think they would sense like there's something wrong with this place? Because I feel like you would. Like there's something bad here.
Bad vibe.
Bad juju.
Bad juju. That's what it is.
Oh no.
That's New Orleans. New Orleans. We're back. Bad juju.
But don't, I wonder if that happened. Like if you would have gone to that cannibal.
It was bad for jujus.
The story I'm telling, let's say it's a 15 chapter story. I just finished chapter one.
But it's 105. Here, I got to say this. I don't like chapters, and I don't like when people do countdowns.
Chapter 2, The Waterfall.
Like, whenever I see a list of this, top 10 reasons why Apple has peaked, I'm like, fuck.
What about top 5 movies?
Yeah, why do you think we never listen to your show unless we're on it?
Top 5 doesn't bother me, but when somebody has to...
Nice out.
Well, like when you're watching a movie, and they're like, chapter 3. Done. You're
this
like, how many chapters are there? Even if I know there's 4, by the time 3 is there, I'm like, oh, it's almost over.
Are you excited for Star Wars Episode 7?
No, I'm not. Not at all. In fact, I'm checking out of the whole Star Wars universe. Where are you going?
I'm checking out.
Checking out of the hotel Star Wars.
You can check out anytime you like, Mike, but you can never leave.
Never take your X-Wing fighter. You know what's funny is that I had that night I got to meet Mark Hamill because Nathan introduced me to his dad. And then last week I hung out with Carrie Fisher Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I'm all Star Wars down.
The Force is strong with you right now.
She's goddamn awesome.
Is she wearing her hair like that?
No, she wasn't. She has great stories.
Was it? Were you trying to not think about... Did you have nerd fantasies of her back
no.
in the day? Oh, okay.
No.
I can imagine you awkwardly bringing that up. You're like, you know what? I was never one of those guys who was like,
I did tell her a story. The bartender told me and asked me not to express to anybody. He goes, when I was a little kid, I had an erection and I didn't know what it was. So I took my little Princess Leia doll and I was running her up and down my penis. My mom walked in and I walked right into the dressing room. I'm like, I got to tell you a story. The bartender just told me. And she goes up on stage and somebody asked her a Star Wars question. She goes, that's not nearly as bad as the bartender here who used to take my doll and run it up and down his erect penis.
Was she funny and charming? Because
she's
kind of awkward.
She's very odd. She's...
like she forces it.
No.
She's forceful.
You would absolutely adore her.
Really?
She is very outspoken and she's cool as shit. Like cool as shit.
So
she's
this
hip as this sweet tune.
Only thing that we learned that we could do that was new, other than drive all the way 4 hours to the capital, Suva, which we did, was this waterfall, which is on a tribe.
Did you ask that kid if there's anything wrong with his car before you left?
Nope.
Like you have to jiggle anything?
Like he had a tricked out stereo where you could put like a thumb drive in it to listen to music. I'm like, what is this? He's like, music for you? It was all Indian music. So
was it this?
He said we learned that we go to the petrol station and then turn immediate left, which is the dirt road, and you go up there and take the dirt road until you hit the village. We like ate with villagers.
Did you give that
times.
Kid $5 and say I want insurance?
Through plenty of villages.
What did you eat?
Deep fried stuff. Strangely, it was decent.
In a
one
village?
Of the best meals I had. Yeah.
How'd they heat the grease?
I don't know.
Mike, they have fire
in a pit.
Big bummer though. All the dogs were very skinny and did not look healthy or happy.
I think that Mike thinks this place that has an airport is also like caveman.
I do think that. I know I'm wrong.
Well,
but
he's not that far off. The villagers are very. Listen, guys, this is a story.
I've been to some of the poorest places in the world. They have fire. They can heat things.
You go to a village and you say you want some French fries. They're like, it'll be like 90 minutes because they got to start the fire, stick the big vat of grease
in
it.
No, they never turn off the fires.
We drive 30 minutes down the road and I'm doing really good. I'm on the left side of the road. I'm not fucking up. I see the petrol station. I'm very excited. I turn left. Fijians everywhere, an explosion of Fijians. They're just all pouring out of this big church because it's Sunday, and they're all getting out of church. Literally, like, probably 100 Fijians.
And they're like, heathen.
And we're driving. No, they love us. Every time it was what I started to say earlier, is like, we left the resort, and they were still nice everywhere. Like, every time they see you driving by, Bula! Bula!
Was that on the song?
Oh. Bula means fuck you.
Bula means hello. So we turn left, and I'm trying to, like, weaving in and out, trying not to mow down these Fijians. And, this one guy goes,
when you say I'm trying not to mow them down, that's so much worse than trying not to hit them.
He says, you're going up to the you going to the waterfall? And we said, yeah. And he goes,
they're not Mexican.
He says, can we get a ride?
Apparently they were. Oye, vato, give me a ride to the waterfall.
Man. I forget how they sound, but it's not like that. But they say, hey, could I have a ride? And I said, yeah, sure, hop in. Next thing I know.
This is my cousin's car,
They make the Australians look a little thin because the couple was pushing 300 each of them.
How wide were Jillian's eyes when you said, sure, get in, and then you looked at her? Was she like,
she was cool.
What
there
you
was
doing?
Nothing we could.
Wait.
We couldn't have said no because they're from the village and we were going up there. If we said no and went up there, we would have seen them.
Did you let Fijians in your car or Australians?
Fijians.
Then why were you looking at the chubby Australians? How
no,
did
I was
they
saying,
fit in the story?
These guys make the chubby Australians seem thin. Almost. I was using a little hyperbole there. These guys are big. Big Samoan type.
What kind of car did you have?
It was a Toyota Camry with wheels that weren't suited for this car at all.
So was it?
Road conditions terrible, by the way, in Fiji. Huge potholes. Like, you could have like 50-gallon fish tanks in some of these potholes.
It's an odd measuring device.
It is weird.
That's why you want it. Maybe it is.
A lot
like
of rain.
Literally, when it rains,
it's so
fish
good.
In those
guys
holes.
Like
I bet you.
Aren't in charge. If we had to come up with like, hey, how should we measure shit? We're like, that looks about like three.
It's
fish
like
tanks.
Those salmon that were crossing the road a couple of days ago.
What?
So next thing I know, there's
a flood, and the salmon started crossing the road, and dogs were eating them off the street. Like salmon. Look it up.
I want to see that.
Dogs.
So we're going up this windy road. It's probably 3-4 miles of really bad dirt road with huge potholes. I have. Mom and dad, Fijian mom and dad, that are going to the village in the back seat with their little 13-year-old daughter, Charlotte, who is very thin and
that
small.
That sounds like a very Fijian name.
That was her Christian name. We couldn't pronounce her actual Fijian name. We never could figure it out.
I bet you could have married her. I bet they let like 13-year-olds get married.
We're driving up there.
He's already married.
I'm trying my best to navigate around the horrible road conditions, but I'm not doing a very good job, and I'm hearing much worse than the tire chains were doing to my car back in the day. It was just raping of the underneath of the car. The two Fijians laughing their balls off. We're too heavy. I'm like,
you are.
We're still Mexican.
Yeah. I'm terrified.
Why do you think you would have seen them up there? Because you guys would have been up there, saw stuff, got in the car and split before they even walked up there.
It was an instinctual thing. I said, sure, hop in.
Yeah, good.
Because I had learned that all the Fijians were nice. But yeah, we would have seen them.
Did their grass skirts leave?
They were going to get a ride.
Why were they going to a tourist attraction?
They live on the village. The village owns it.
I thought they wanted to check it out too. They're like, we've never been there.
So you broke the car.
So we get up there, and there's like some kind of thing. You got to donate like $14 per person to go see this to the village, to the community, to go see this waterfall. They turn to their daughter Charlotte, and they say, "Charlotte,
making me so thirsty right now." By the way,
take this nice American couple up to the. By the way, they all thought we were Australians, which really bothered me. I don't know why, But it really did. And I'm like, as we're walking, everyone here thinks that we're Australians. And when they just glance at me, you know, like when I was, we used to work out of a gay gym, they all thought I was gay. And that bugged me.
Makes sense.
I want them to know who I am.
Hey, you
straight
know,
American.
You know gay gym too?
Gay gym.
So we go on this 45-minute walk to
Charlotte. Did you guys
have
a koala on a leash?
To go see the waterfall. And Charlotte pissed. Because she has a Sunday off, you know?
Yeah.
She's excited to have a Sunday off. And all of a sudden, she's got to take these two dumb fucking tourists.
Should have got her high.
Julian thought about it. No, so we go up, and the waterfall
cut
is nothing
short. My 13-year-old daughter high on a waterfall.
Of amazing. The waterfall is fucking phenomenal. I'm like a good 30 yards behind them the entire time. I can't keep up because we have to go through streams, like seven streams to get there.
But there was an accident. Now it's called Daughterfall.
I have no shoes. So I'm in my bare feet because I can't wear my shoes through the stream. It was a nightmare, and I was busting my. I got cuts all over my feet.
You didn't wear flip flops?
No, I was wearing these fucking Chuck Taylors, and I couldn't. Anyways, so
you took them off?
Yeah, and I couldn't put them back on and off. And it was awful. And I had a backpack, a camera pack, so that I could take pictures, and it was terrible. And Jillian is way ahead with Charlotte, and they're fucking having the time of their life, just holding Jillian's hand as they walk through the streams.
Sounds like a tampon ad.
It was. It looked like one. I got a ton of pictures.
It does sound like that.
So I forget. Something else happened with Charlotte. But the chick, she's 13. She lives on that village. Never been in the ocean.
What?
Never. She left the village one time to go to the zoo.
It's like Brooklyn for them.
But they never leave.
Yeah.
It's like you're 13. And you have all the. So I'm doing all this crazy shit and you don't do any of it. I'm doing it all in like five days and you've never done it in 13 years. How does that work?
There's people in all the boroughs of New York that have never left 40, 50 years. There's people that have never left a 6 or 7 block area in Brooklyn their entire lives. They were born there.
That makes me so claustrophobic.
It's crazy, right? But I get it. I absolutely get it.
For 5 days. I was in New York for 5 days. Guess what I did?
Crack.
I did crack, but I also went to all five boroughs.
Yeah, as you should.
I wanted to step foot on all five boroughs.
Your passport stamped?
That would have been sweet. They should do that. That would get people moving around more.
Insensitive Hurricane Sandy joke.
I was snorkeling, thinking Charlotte's never done this, and I'm doing it like 5 minutes from where she lives.
She did build a nice web.
Did you hear the joke that New York was going as New Orleans for Halloween this
that's
year?
Pretty good. No. I got a sweet picture of our tour guide diving headfirst off of the waterfall. It's pretty sweet.
Explain to me why this waterfall was so spectacular.
It was just huge.
How far is she from the ocean that she's never been in?
Was it different than other waterfalls?
Walk. It was what you see like in posters. It was what you see. It was just one of those.
Could you feel the mist and was it warm?
It was warm and we did go in the water.
I like that.
And we had our tour guide take a picture of us by the waterfall. We looked at the picture afterwards. Waterfall, nowhere in sight.
Did you ever turn? Did you ever turn away while you did a quick waterfall bang?
Nope.
It could have just been
very little banging, guys.
That pool, the grotto. Hey, so here's what I want to know. So the waterfall goes into what appears to be like a tiny lake.
Yeah, it's like a little pool. I got pictures.
Is that where you swam? Like where Western guys would go to clean up and stuff.
Yep, that's where the Western guys go.
Anyone who's ever been on the road to Hana in Hawaii, it looked just like all that stuff. All Fiji looks like the road to Hana.
You know what I mean? Like if you see
that's
a movie,
where the Marlboro man washes up. Yeah. It was down to
it's like where the sirens are bathing and the guy.
I know it sounds stupid, but I'm so Western, I had to pee really bad instead of just zipping, unzipping, and just peeing wherever because I was in nature. Like, we were deep. It was a rainforest. It was literally
you peed
a rainforest.
Into a flower?
I got to the.
And it went, oh, thanks.
They had a couple little benches. Are we in. What is that? What is that movie?
Willy Wonka?
No.
No.
Little Shop of Horrors?
I never saw it.
Really? Don't.
Did they pee in the flowers?
No, but the flowers eat things and say thanks. All right.
Really?
So we get to the waterfall, and there's actually a little plank. There's a little bench that somebody set up there. You know, they built it there. And there's a bathroom. I'm excited because I can go in. And
like
I can
plumbing
pee,
and
like,
everything?
Getting there. I walk in this bathroom. I was expecting at least a hole in the ground. Nothing. It's just a shed with dirt inside.
What?
How do you know it was
luckily,
a bathroom?
Because it said men. And it was just a shack. But luckily, there's nothing, you know, nothing terrible in there. But I just peed in the corner, and then I realized there were spiders crawling on me, and I freaked out and walked out. Yeah, it was bad. Sorry. We're leaving. We say goodbye to Charlotte.
It's in a terrible dark room with spiders on you while you're peeing.
Yeah, it was awful.
You know what's weird is?
I cut it off midstream and peed in the pond.
Like when you said there was a... I, honest to God, envision, and I know it's me watching Gilligan's Island for too long, or Swiss Family Robinson.
You mean Gillian's Island?
But I envision, like, a coconut with a hole drilled in the bottom and, like, bamboo plumbing going out of it. That's what I'm like, yeah,
it
I want to
been
check
that.
Out that Fijian.
That would have been pretty cool.
I think how Gilligan's Island was, like, the nicest place ever. So ridiculous.
We leave.
It probably is. It's Fiji, for God's sakes.
Waterfall. Food's terrible. I'm glad the food was terrible. It was kind of like... you know, like a really good friend who smells bad or something, it's like, oh, I'm going to miss this guy, but at least I'm not going to have to smell this thing. You know, when I never want to leave Hawaii. I think Fiji's better than Hawaii in a lot of ways, but I never want to leave Hawaii because it has everything. I was pretty excited to get away from Fiji and have some normal food.
So would the ultimate vacation be go to Fiji in your own jet with your own food and your own chef?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be like the pinnacle of all vacations?
Mm-hmm. That water, you know, like the perfect aqua blue water where you can see to the ground. I thought that I'd been there because I thought that Hawaii had it, and they just don't capture it. It looks different on TV. Nope, never been to it. Not until I got to Fiji. I mean, that water is there. It's real.
I
got to
see that stuff.
I'm so thirsty right now of all this damn water talk.
So we get in the car. We drive 3 hours east. We go to the capital. It's pretty much closed down because it's Sunday. And we go to McDonald's for Jillian. And I go to an Indian place next door. And we drive back. And on our way back, now we've been on the road for like 8 hours. Oh, almost forgot the best part. We get to Harbor City. And I'm trying to find where I'm going to go swim with sharks the next day, right? So I'm looking all over for it, and I'm getting lost, and I got Vast. I mean, you guys remember
the
band
Vast? Did
you
learn this before you went, or did you learn that this possibility existed when you got there?
No, like, I knew it long before, and I sent them an email.
Because I was trying to envision the joy on your face when you found out you could swim
with sharks. That joy was there because I tried to book it, and they said, oh, these guys book out like weeks in advance. I don't think there'll be anything open. And they're like, oh, we have an opening Monday morning. Thank God. So we're looking for where it is, and Vast, it's a band. I don't know if you've ever heard of Vast, but I haven't heard them in a long time. They were playing, and I was getting into the music, realized I was lost, get off the road, I had to turn back around, get on the road. All I remember, we're on an open highway, guys, 60 kilometers an hour. That's like 45 miles an hour, right, is the average speed. I remember really getting into the song, like a total fucking nerd, and Virgilian saying road. That's all I heard. And that was the moment that I realized that a car was coming directly at me because I was on the wrong side of the road. Going very fast. Like, he's swerving right as I swerve. Thank God he swerved to the right, and I swerved to the right. I swerved more onto the wrong side, to the shoulder, which there was a big ditch. I easily could have killed both of us, head on collision. At least could have put the car in the ditch where it would be completely fucked up. And I tried to play it off cool. I was in the gravel, and then I drove away. I'm like, sorry, that won't happen again. She's like, will you stop focusing on music and focus
shaking?
On the road?
Were you shaking?
Completely shaking, completely embarrassed.
I don't like that.
It was awful. Next time it happened, I was driving a cab driver who owned the car. But that's a whole different story.
I thought you were going to say we're driving down the road and we passed some cars and I looked over and there were sharks driving.
What?
And they looked at us like, oh shit, they can see us. Like they're fake.
I almost
they're fake
that
swimming
too.
With sharks.
What are you talking about?
Like you're driving down the road, you go shark fishing or shark swimming and you're so excited about it. And you look over and you see some dudes in like shark heads and they're like smoking and they look at you and they're like, oh, he sees us. Like, they're on their way to work to fake being sharks.
Oh, fake being sharks. They're fake sharks. I see.
I don't know why I'm yelling to explain
like
this
Disneyland.
Stupid thought that I had. Sort of.
Like, that's what would happen at Disneyland.
Yeah.
You know how you have that problem where you can't make decisions?
Yeah.
I was in Costco today.
I can't
today.
Even decide what words to come out of my mouth right now. See, I missed a word right there.
$9.95 pack of 60 handmade Christmas tags for putting Christmas on Christmas presents.
Handmade.
But there's two different packs with two different variations. Spent 10 minutes probably going back and forth before I decided.
Why don't
nope.
You get them both?
Not getting either. Walked away. Fucking asshole. It's hard being me.
I didn't know you had a Costco card because. No, I'm not going to start pitch. Oh my God, I do have something to plug.
Go ahead. I'm on chapter 4, by the way.
I don't want to do it. Forget it.
Go ahead.
You guys know what a big fan I am of ELO. Jeff Lynne, the guy who wrote and recorded.
I wish I didn't say go ahead.
All those amazing, fantastic, wonderful, beautiful songs from the 70s. Like Mr. Blue Sky, Telephone Line, all of them.
Yeah, hizzle for shizzle, dizzle.
He re-recorded all of their greatest hits in 2012 with him on every instrument, just like they were back there. And here's the best part. They sound almost identical.
Terrible regrets.
But they're much higher resolution.
Couldn't have made a worse mistake.
With modern recording equipment.
So we're hours later.
Buy it.
Hours later. Finally driving back from Suva. And we're going back to the resort. I'm just drained, Jonathan. And I don't know why it took so long, but the car started falling apart, and I know it's because of the Fijians in the back. And it starts making this horrible rattling sound. I pull over. We check it out. I'm hoping it's the jack in the back. I secure the jack. The sound continues. It's like a knocking sound. I'm thinking, this is not cool. And it's like I'm getting sick now. Because I'm in the middle of a third world country in a car that's literally falling apart.
Plus, the returning it part's going to be difficult. Because if it's Enterprise, you can just go, hey, here's the keys.
I'd
I bought the insurance. See you
I'd
later. Yeah.
Right. But here, I'm like, I'm breaking this kid's car.
Good luck getting a junior college tomorrow.
So, and the next morning I have to be at the shark place at 8 a.m. They don't have junior colleges out there.
That would be like the highest university in the land.
Wow, that's rude. So we get back to the resort.
I've seen the statistics. We don't have any Fijian
We made
listeners.
It back. It's worrying me. It's confusing. It's terrifying me a little bit, but whatever. Next morning I have to wake up at 6 in the morning so I can be back an hour and a half away from where we're staying to be at the shark dive site at 8 so that I can go out in the boat to the sharks.
Shark dive.
Now, that's supposed to be freaking me out, right? Because I'm going to be swimming with bull sharks, which is one of three sharks that will kill you if they see you.
And but you're in a cage, right?
They will eat a bitch.
No cage.
No cage.
Free swimming with these sharks at 120 feet under the water, under surface.
Wait, so you had to get certified to scuba diving?
I was already certified, but I haven't dove in 20 years. So that was another thing that had me freaked out.
It's divin'.
So I wake up at 6:30. I'm on the road doved. With my car making sounds. And what's really cool is like about every 15 kilometers, you come across a little village. And
you don't need to get fancy with us. I don't know even what the fuck that means.
15 kilometers is like 600
fish tanks. I don't want
to
know.
600 fish tanks. It's for stepping
all
over the
joke. Well, you know, it's hard to tell when you're
it's
hot.
It's about 400 swimming salmon walking across the road.
Because it's like 26 Celsius, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're sweating.
Yep.
So you slow down for these little Fijian villages, and they're the nicest people. They see you coming, and they're nice to each other.
Why do you
nice
slow
to
down?
You.
So you don't hit somebody?
It says, you know, like you're going 65 kilometers, and that's what it is. I don't know. It's like 45 miles per hour. And then it gets like 15 kilometers when you go through these little villages. It's essentially like a school zone, but it's like every, like, you know, 10 miles or so.
Are there cops over there?
We were talking about that. We saw one cop the entire time we were there.
He's the lone guy for the island.
It's a big island.
He goes and takes Western baths in that
so
waterfall.
They fill it up with it.
Slowing down. It's a beautiful drive. It's like misty outside.
Wait, real quick. I didn't say they're taking baths. It's where they it was like more like a shower.
It's where they take the horse to drink.
Yeah.
The water.
Yeah.
I get it.
He jumps in with his long johns.
All the villagers, like, they see you and they wave and they yell out bula and everyone's waving.
Do you feel
and
like a rich colonial white man?
Mm-hmm. A little bit,
sounds
but it's
like
not
it.
Just like me. It's like everybody, you know? They're just happy, happy people. And it's like real. It's not fake
do
shit.
Do they use money there? Or is everything like barter system? It's like, I gave you a chicken
mugs.
Last week.
Everything's mugs. By the way, you made a mug. How'd that go?
Yeah.
I was really pissed.
Here's what happened. It was much more difficult than I anticipated. Mm-hmm. I started over.
Mike
started
was painting
again,
a mug.
Started over. Mm-hmm. I finally came up with a design I liked after 5 or 6 coats of paint. I was happy with it. And then thought I would add some more stuff, and I fucked it up completely and had to start over. I mean, I just kept painting over it.
Where is it now?
It's being, it's in the kiln.
Oh, okay, it's official. Are you going to keep it?
No, what are you talking
you
about?
Abort it?
I told the woman at the place, I go, I'm going to get at least $200 for this.
Oh my God, you're that guy?
I totally do.
I don't mean to brag, but I'm on a podcast, and I can sell these
I tried
you know,
to pay them in
mugs.
Mugs over in Fiji. They did not accept.
I you Ooh! Did not try to pay with mugs.
Best coffee I've ever had in my life. The best 8 cups of coffee I've ever had in my life.
It hasn't
eight.
Been cooked yet.
That's a good-looking mug. You'll see it later, guys, when you get to bid
it's
on it.
It's after disaster.
What you should do
city.
Is send Mike a very strong message of solidarity by not making one single bid on that and say, if that's not after disaster official product,
yeah.
All three of you,
it's not approved.
I don't want a part of it. That's what you should all do.
I'd also like to say, if anybody that lives in Los Angeles wants to buy my Leonard Cohen tickets, I have excellent seats, and they were about $200 each.
On my way to the shark.
You're not Leonard Cohen?
I think I'm going to go to
there's
Vegas.
There's a thing called Craigslist.org.
I don't want to deal with strangers.
Well, listeners aren't strangers. So
I'd rather deal with strangers.
On my way to shark dive, guys. And the
y'all
car
a shark dive.
starts making a much, much worse sound than it was making the day before. About 20 minutes into my drive, it's you can hear the wheels turning.
You know what the worst thing? You get out and there's a shark stuck under the bottom. It's all bloody.
I hit the
karma.
Brakes to slow down. It's just like there's no shoe. It's just like the caliper straight on the drum. I don't know what happened. I don't know what's going on, but that's the sound it's making. I stop the car to check it out. I try and put it in reverse. It won't back up. The tires are locked. I don't know what. And I'm panicking, thinking.
I would panic, too.
The shark dive is like the most important thing I'm going to be doing here.
Yeah.
When else am I going to have an opportunity to swim with fucking bull sharks in my life? Probably never. Am I going to have to like get out and rent another car or flag? Am I going to have to? I thought I was going to have to hitchhike. Because it was still like another hour away. I said, fuck it. We're just going to make this happen. And I just drove. The Fijian villagers, they stop waving. They start looking confused and concerned every time I come to a new village now. And I still got like 20 villages to go through. And it's like they're not happy anymore. They're just like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Because the car sounds like robots raping one another. It's awful. And I'm just turning up the music, trying to just pretend like it's not happening.
I'm surprised they didn't come over and help.
Long story short.
Was it kind of like that?
I got to the shark dive. I had to park in a place where I could pull forward because I can't back up. If I parked like up against a wall, there's no way I would ever get out.
I find it amazing that you could still go through with your plans because all I would be thinking about is when I had to return the car.
I was
and that poor kid came out and I'm like, here it is.
I was 120 feet under the ocean surface with 7 monstrous tigers. Not tigers. The tiger shark didn't show up. God damn her. She was supposed to. They thought they were going to see her, but she didn't show up. But 7 monstrous bull sharks. These sharks, I don't know if these particular sharks have eaten people, but they're bull sharks are known to eat people, kill people. They're at least, the smallest one's probably 12 feet. There was like a 14-foot bull shark, huge. Seven. I counted seven of them.
Were you wearing that awesome, I'm sitting there watching. Mail?
No, but the guy that feeds them. There was 11 Fijian dive masters, all with sticks, around the 10 divers that were diving with the sharks. We were all like behind this little tiny wall of coral, and the sharks, the shark, the one that got closest to me, twice, it got within about 2 feet of my face, and then they put a stick towards it, and it zipped the other way. But they're so smart. They come there twice a day. They know that they're going to get fed there, and they know all the Fijians that are feeding them. But they're coming to check out us like a dog would. Like if a dog, if there are a few dogs in a park and the same 10 people came to feed them every day, and then there's 10 other people that would come that would be different, those dogs are going to go check out the 10 other. That's what the sharks were doing with us. They're coming by, who are these guys? We've never seen these guys. We know those guys over there, but who are these guys? And they can, you could see their eyes checking you out. It was fucking phenomenal. Guess what dumb fuck Anderson's doing?
Taking out their IVs.
Terrified about the car and how it's going to go down when I return it. That's
I
got to
say, if I'm not acting impressed by the, if I'm not seeming to be impressed by the shark thing, when I drive home, it's going to freak me the F out because I still can't, I can't let it, it's not sinking in that you got into water with sharks.
I almost had a panic attack and said, can't do it. Not because of the sharks, but it was because I had not dove in 20 years, over a little over 20 years, almost exactly 20 years. And there's a lot to it. People think it's,
I bet.
You know, I used to dive a lot, but it's been over 20 years, and I was starting to really have like really short, shallow breaths, and I was thinking, I don't know if I can go to 120 feet right now, because that takes a lot of experience.
120 feet is far.
It is. It's far.
That's really far.
It's like 30 meters.
You know what? 120 feet is about, wait, 120 feet?
Yeah.
That's like seven stories.
Yeah.
Mike, what?
It's far down.
A story is 10 feet.
And there's like there's
12 stories.
A buoyancy control vest that you got to learn how to, you know, you got to put air in it, you got to let it 120 out.
120 feet, that's like three stories.
And all the nine other divers that were paying to be there, they all, oh, by the way, all Americans. Eight Americans, two Australians. That was the only time where
I saw
a few Australians. Yeah, it's one really annoying show.
Okay, why don't they just get the sharks to come up to shallower water, make it easy?
What was bizarre is all the bull sharks knew to stay down at the 120 feet range. And then we swam up for the second half of the dive, the last 20 minutes of the dive. We went to like the 15-foot range, and that's where all the reef sharks were. And the bull sharks knew not to come up there. They could have easily just swam up and got more food, but they knew. Maybe it's a pressure thing for them. No, it's
when
not.
When you're down at 120, how far away until like the ocean just looks like a blue curtain?
Like the visibility was about, I'd say 50, 60 feet, but
The thing about the ocean that scares me is that blue curtain, like when you're just looking into nothing.
And then a shark head all of a sudden appears. That's how it was.
When you saw the first shark, was it terrifying?
No, I was never scared of the sharks ever. I felt completely
how
safe.
I was in awe.
I was just as lame as that might sound. I was just in complete
awe. Did you get to reach your hand out and touch them?
No, they went over quite a few rules, and they said that if you want to lose your hand, a good way to do it would be to put it out, because they're so used to taking food from us, they see a hand going towards them, they might take a chunk out of it. And the reef sharks are even more dangerous with that kind of thing, because they're so squirrely. They're smaller.
How do they feed them, then?
They have chainmail, and they're holding it out, and they're very experienced, and they've done it plenty of times, and they let go right at the last minute. But you know those shots where you see, like on Shark Week, where the shark has got his mouth completely open?
Yeah.
I got that shot like four or five times, and I say shot, and it kills me because I didn't even have one of those disposable cameras.
You
should have
asked me to take this.
I had nothing down there with me.
Should have taken this.
Paid 80 Fijian dollars, though. They're sending me a video because they were shooting stuff the entire time.
You should have had this strapped to you.
I'm going
to
have video. I know. I should have so much shit. I had so much regret. I had horrible, horrible regret. It almost ruined everything. I would like to thank the three listeners who donated the money to allow me to do this shark dive, too. That was very, very kind of you.
How much was it?
It was $300 plus the gear rental stuff, plus the $80 for the video, which I will definitely post that somewhere if there's some cool shots.
How dark was it down there?
Not very, but you don't see many colors when you get down below like 30 feet. Beyond that, like the colors kind of start to really diffuse.
I almost said something really racist.
Thanks, Mike.
But anyways, it was phenomenal.
That's worse because now we're all just using our imagination.
I know. I'm thinking the worst of the worst.
No, when you said how dark it was,
all right. So I could see the bottom of like, the
you
back
were supposed
of the,
to say two black guys.
I could see the, I could see like the bottom of the shark's stomach. His mouth was that fucking wide open. I could see all the way back.
Really?
Yeah.
That gives me the willies.
Oh, yeah, shit! God damn it!
What?
I forgot. My friend Alex has a story, and he wanted me to call him. So he'd like to share it with all of us.
Alex Pupich?
Yeah. I'm gonna call him right now.
Call him up.
Ring him up, bruh.
Okay, I want to hear what happened, though. Before we wrap the show up, I want to hear what happened with the rental car, because that still is bothering me.
That's a good story, the second half of that
story. He dove in it. It was just at the bottom of the ocean.
I got it ringing. God damn it. I'm sorry, Alex. I was so caught up in my goddamn Fijian world.
I forgot that you're going
to
do that shark diving.
Yeah. He has no idea what he's on.
That sounds incredible. I don't think I could do it, I'd want to do it, but it sounds the most horrifying thing ever.
You'd have to do it.
I'll go swimming with dolphins.
Hello.
Alex Pupich.
What is up?
Welcome to the program. You're on the air.
I'm on the air. I got to say, I'm so happy to be on with you guys because I've been listening to Anderson all my life, practically, talk about movies, got me into movies.
No, this isn't the movie podcast. This is the other podcast.
This is the good one.
This is the good show. This is the After Disaster, where we talk about anything and everything. Open and honest. I was just telling stories. Yeah. That's why your fish tank story is going to work on this show. I don't think it would work on the film vault.
Well, that's good, because I don't think the fish tank story has anything to do with movies, but I had a couple movie questions for you guys anyways lined up. But
let me just explain real quick to the listeners who Alex Pupich is. One of my oldest friends. We've been friends, since junior high?
Beauty days.
Yeah.
You were at my wedding. You're good friends with Corey. And you know about beauty and all that shit?
Yeah, I do. I'm familiar.
Does he know about
that.
Buffalo Butts?
No, he's not from that era. But Alex calls me beauty, fucking beauty. And he was at the.
Comes up on my phone when you call.
Now it comes up on our phones as well.
He gets beauty calls.
Yeah.
He wasn't there though when Johnny Brown told me to go home because nobody liked me. He was not there for that.
Johnny Brown's the man.
Yeah, he knows Johnny Brown well.
Go home, beauty.
Go home, beauty.
Nobody wants you here, anyways.
But Alex went to a prep
Baddest
school.
Man in the whole damn school.
Crespi in the valley, and then he went on to the Air Force Academy, and now he's a pilot.
And I'm still doing some military stuff. But.
And he still flies a big C-130s. The listeners may know him.
What if he was your pilot?
You know the trick when you're flying. I'm sure I told you guys. If you ever want to get free drinks, bring some chocolates for the girls and make sure you give it to the girls who, whatever section you're sitting in, make sure to just say something like, hey, my buddy is a pilot and I heard you guys don't have a lot of time to get food, you know, because you got to be here for boarding or whatever. So I just brought you some chocolates. You will not pay for a drink the rest of the time.
That's nice.
I guarantee you.
That's what I'm talking about.
You do it to the girls, then you know that's fine. But if you can man up, if there's a guy in your section, like you come on late and it's one of the last guys,
Jim J. Bullock,
whatever, and you see a guy, just do it to the guys too, because they, you know, they won't think you're hitting on them. They'll appreciate it. They'll give you.
This
more.
Is probably some scam he's trying to pull on us because they got poisoned with candy at some point in time, and he wants to watch us get arrested. You know what would be funny is, I wish I still drank just for this, but it would be funny if you dropped like $60 on candy for two Coors Lights. Like, oh, look, I got you C's. I'm like, here you go, buddy.
Bud I still Light. Drink, and I'm going to be using this. I'm going to start flying again.
This is a good time to invest in half-price Halloween candy, right?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Hang out in the airport, ask people what airline they're flying. Go, I got a little tip for you. I'll give you a huge bag for $5. This is good for at least two beers.
Sounds like a horrible plan.
Can you imagine how much candy they get now from, thanks to Alex?
Yeah, a bunch of, like, candy corn and shit.
Ah, the gross candy. Old person's candy. And the dish. You give them the dish, too.
Alex, how do you and I become friends? Weren't we, like, laying in the park or something, drinking beers and talking about aliens or some shit?
That's when we became friends, but it wasn't the first time we met, actually. You wanted to beat me up.
Oh, that's true. Hey, can I tell real quick my brother's story?
Yeah.
All right, so my brother, Brett. Who was at the wedding?
He's a big guy. You wanted to beat him up?
He didn't used to be that big.
I was skinny.
Alex is 6'5". How much you weigh, Alex?
And plus, Andy was like 2 years ahead or something. And he was in eighth grade. I was seventh. Yeah. He was like 2 years ahead because his dad held him back.
I got redshirted. Seventh grade, I failed.
You guys should fight now. See what happens.
Alex is 6'5", big guy. How you weigh, like, what, 260?
Yeah.
Pretty good guess.
Probably a good day.
Pretty good guess.
It's about half a fish tank.
I hope you got a really skinny co-pilot.
My brother comes to the wedding, right? And my brother's got a lot of reservations. He didn't want to stick around. He wanted to come just for the ceremony, turn around, go home. And I said, stick around, have a steak. Let me buy you a steak at least, hang out. And he goes, all right. And then he starts asking me questions. He goes, hey, that friend of yours who knocked me off my skateboard in seventh grade, is he going to be there? I'm like, yep. And he goes, what about that guy that was driving really slow in front of me all the way to our house and it turned out to be your jackass friend and he got out of the car? Is he going to be there? I said, yeah, that guy's going to be there. He's like, what about the guy that did that thing with that lady on the dance floor you told me about a while ago? Is he going to be there? I said, yeah, that guy's going to be there too. You know why? Because they're all the same guy. All those three. He only asked me about three guys and they're all Alex Pupich.
You follow. I love how you have to bribe your brother with a steak to come to your wedding.
You got in front of Anderson's brother and you slowed down like you were going to fight him or something? That's horrible.
No, no, no. It wasn't like that. He didn't realize how antisocial.
I was just driving and he was like wanting to pass me and I happened to be going to the exact same place he was going. I didn't know it at the time. And I went and parked, and he got out, and he was just furious with me. I thought it was kind of funny. And,
no, I thought you knew who it was, though, and you thought it would be like, oh, this is funny, it's Andy's brother, who cares? But it turns out
yeah, it was right towards the end. I was like, oh, I'm going to pull in the driveway just so he can't.
Hey, I have a question for you. In relation to, let's say you're comparing planes to cars. Are there planes that fly smoother and better as there are cars that drive smoother and better?
The Bentley plane is the smoothest.
No, I'm being serious. This isn't a
time for yeah, 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 yeah. Of course, I think you know the heavier the plane is, you know it's going to be smoother.
All right, I'm bored. Alex, next question:
wind and turbulence.
Oh, actually, I have a real question because I was flying. We had some nice turbulence on the way to DC, like some real good like gut drops out of your belly kind of turbulence. And I'm just laughing because I think that was my coping mechanism. It was kind of fun, like a roller coaster. But my wife was freaking out. But how much of an actual bump in the plane is it to give you that feeling of, oh, my stomach just went all the way up to my throat and back down? Is it like inches or is it actual, like, you know?
Do you like drop a number of meters?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it depends, you know, for each person. But it takes a lot we feel it up front just as much as you guys do, and we want to get out of it.
No, I think the turbulence, he wants to know how much the plane moves. I bet it moves like 10 or 12 feet.
Alex.
Oh, how much it moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a matter of feet. Yeah,
wow.
For sure. Strapped up in my straps, but if I wasn't in there, it'd hit my head.
So that's like a good at least 5 feet, right?
Woo!
No, easily.
Yeah, we
easily.
Had some good bumps flying into Denver. It was good times. And yep. And the best part was we got iced over on the tarmac, so we're just sitting there. And we had to wait for the ice trucks, the de-icers, to come. And we got iced down by Iceman 1. It was pretty sweet.
Like
as the window got slowly de-iced, you just saw Iceman 1 right there. It was pretty awesome.
Alex.
Yeah, how would you like that job, to be sitting in that little capsule and freezing below?
No.
Oh, God.
Is there a time?
Oh, by the way, fuck you, Denver Airport. Just because it's 40 degrees outside doesn't mean you have to keep the inside of the terminal also 40 degrees. Assholes, turn the heater on.
Alex.
Yeah.
You might also know Alex Pupich from defeating Notre Dame Irish, Fighting Irish, way back in the day. Right? Am I right?
Yeah, okay.
Lou Holtz quit because of you.
We don't need to go over that. But
it's kind of true. They actually interviewed him after. It was like the New Year's game. They interviewed him after the game. It was pretty sweet, and he talked about how he used to break into Dodger Stadium.
I appreciate.
Yeah.
I understand the words you're saying. I don't know what they mean.
Do you know that we used
order.
To break into Dodger Stadium?
Yes.
In the middle of the night and run the bases. Alex Pupich was there. Yeah.
Yeah. Who am I on the air with? Is it or on the After Disasters? Annie and Brian and
nope. Brian's fine. It's Tyler and Mike Carano, the guy that married me and one of my groomsmen.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I appreciate your humility that you haven't dropped all this stuff on us at the wedding, because I would like to. Of course, I would have cornered you for an hour to talk about flying, but is there ever a time where you're really scared being in the cockpit?
Yeah, I can, you know, a couple times.
Well,
he flies
the big C-130s.
No, but I mean,
the C-130, I was scared. Mm-hmm, yeah,
but are you more frightened when you have a giant tube full of people? Don't you feel responsible for all these more people you have right behind you?
They get guys with cool, like his veins are like ice. Like Alex is very, very calm. He really is very calm guy.
It seems that way to me.
Yeah.
Because I noticed, even though you were hanging out with Corey the entire time, that you were very different.
Thank God. Thank you very much, Alex.
Very different.
Wrangling Corey, because Corey, even my mom tonight at dinner, it's my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. Oh, my God, my mom's the sweetest lady ever. Came back for the honeymoon, and she had cleaned my entire house.
Arguably the sweetest lady I've ever met.
Made my bed, made our bed. What a great lady. Yeah, thank you, Alex.
And she looks exactly the same after 20 or 30 years of us knowing each other. I swear, I looked at her, I'm like, you have not changed a bit.
And hi, Jeannie, as well.
She's
thank
like,
you
thanks.
So much for coming
what I look
to the,
like
the
Batman, asshole.
It's great having you and Peter there. But, yeah, Alex, even my mom tonight was bitching about Corey. She's like, I liked all your friends except for that Corey guy. It's just sad. He was, like, falling down, and he wouldn't shut up.
And you're like, you should have been at the bachelor party.
Fucking Corey.
Oh, he was falling down.
That's what she said. I'm like, he's not really the fall down kind. She's like, oh, he was leaning on me really heavy. I'm like, sorry. All right, so what is this fish tank?
What is this? Yeah, the fish tank. So
Alex, I'm sorry, let me set it up one second, Alex. Alex texted me, was it yesterday, and he asked if I still do a podcast. And I said, because I don't really talk to my friends about what I do. And I said, yeah, absolutely. And he goes, I got a story that I'd like to tell you guys. I think you might like it. I ever tell you about the fish tank story from high school? And I said, no, come on. Why don't you tell it?
All right, let's hear it.
Yeah, the fish tank. So me and a couple buddies go out, Denver, mid-90s, when we're in college. Dino DeBacco and Lawrence Schutz. We go out. We're trying to get some ladies.
Now, this is the Air Force Academy, right? Air Force Academy?
Yeah, we're at the Air Force Academy, and we went up to Denver for the weekend. And I strike out. Dino strikes out. But Lawrence hooks up with this girl. We're trying to figure out where to go, back to her place, back to the hotel or whatever. And she's like, hey, you guys come back to my place. Me and Lawrence will go, you know, do our thing. And also, I've got two big couches for you and Dino. And I've got some alcohol, whatever. So we're like, okay, good.
Classic Alex.
What's that?
Classic Alex. Go ahead.
So you guys need two couches to fuck on?
Yeah.
Places for them to crash.
She is super nice to us. She lays out, you know, puts like blankets on the couches and lays everything out. And my buddy Dino still wanted a drink. So she set out some like champagne and glasses and stuff. That's all she had. And her and Lawrence go in the bedroom. And my buddy Dino is like, come on, man, let's keep drinking. Let's keep drinking. And I'm like, I don't know. I try to go to sleep. And to wake me up from sleeping so that he could keep drinking with me, he goes to the fish tank and he takes out, you know, had like 20 fish in there and puts some fish on my face, right? And they're flopping around. And I wake up. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? No way, man. I'm going to sleep. I go to sleep again, and he does it again. He puts some more fish, and he's laughing.
Wait, are these like saltwater fish, Alex? Are they freshwater? Are they lionfish?
No, they're not like the super expensive kind, but I wouldn't know.
It's still rude.
Only because it wasn't that expensive of a tank. You know, I've seen seen the fish tanks you've had, and the big old one. I don't think they're like exotic or anything. Okay. So after the second time, I'm like, all right, fuck it, man. I'm going to piss in the fish tank so that he would never dare put his hands in there.
I don't think that's a good plan.
You know who gets the least amount of consideration in the story?
The fish. The poor fucking fish.
Yeah. Yeah, so I piss. You know, it was a long, drunk piss, whatever.
Wait, how high was this
fish? This girl's so nice. She's giving you champagne.
How high was this fish tank?
Oh, she was very nice. Oh, it was tall enough. I'm a tall guy, but I had to get a chair. And stand on it. So I go to sleep, laughing myself to sleep, giggling, and now he puts some more fish on my face. So now I have like fish and piss water dripping all down my face. And I said, all right, enough's enough. And
no.
I pull down and I attempt to take a shit.
Alex,
in the fish tank.
Not the show.
What's that?
We're not that show. Wait, Wait, are the fish going back in the tank? Please tell me the fish are going back in the tank, Alex.
Some are going back.
Are they getting like trapped in the cushions of the couch?
Yeah.
Ah, this story just took a turn for the worst.
I feel very bad for the fish, Alex. I'm going to be honest with you.
You should, because I got over, and if you've ever tried to take a dump without control.
I've never tried to take one anywhere on the planet except for a toilet.
I know. Well, what you don't realize,
I'm a prude though.
The muscle to stop to clench up is the same for your, you know, for both ends. So I'm peeing all over myself as I'm trying to push this out. And
this poor woman who let
like
you in her.
Yeah. It's bad, and I clench up, and only like about a golf ball size thing goes onto the floor. Yeah, because I completely missed. I didn't get my bearings. So I hunker down again, and I really let one go that you would be proud of. Just a nice 6 or 8 incher.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Top of the fish tank. Mm-hmm. And I turn around, and I was like, there's no way he's going to reach in there again. And I started to feel bad about how nice she was. So I took I wanted to go, like, scoop up the little golf ball one that I'd missed, and I was still kind of drunk, and all I ended up doing was kind of, like, smearing it into the, into the carpet and everything, and, and it was with a glass, and I tried to scoop it up with a glass so I could put it, but that didn't work, and I put it back on the counter, and enough is enough. We go back to sleep. My buddy wakes me up.
Man, I got to say, your enough is enough is her way too much.
By the way, I don't think I could have slept after I'd done those things. Yeah, at least in that place. I'd be like, I should probably leave.
Was she going to take out $100, leave it on the counter?
Did you have a plan to explain what was in her fish tank that she was obviously going to?
Going to sleep, no. And that's why when he woke me up, he's like, dude, we have to get out of there. And I'd forgotten about it. And I'm like, why? And I look over. And it's all polluted brown. All the fish are dead, floating at the
top.
And the I took off the lid, and it, the shit is now, sorry, is the size of a bread, a thing, a roll of bread. I mean, it's like a loaf of bread. It's huge. It's in water, engorged. And so we knock on the door. He's like, what the fuck? You know, you guys, I got to get out of here. And we get him. We run, and shit, she came out. And grabbed some milk. She walked right by the stain on the carpet. She walked right by the glass that has, you know, crap all over the side, and went back in the room, and we got him. And I swear, as we're closing the door, the obligatory, what did you guys do to my fish tank? As we were running out the door down the stairs to the car and we left.
That
oh
is
my God.
A terrible story.
Yeah. It's the grossest thing that anyone's ever said on this show. We said some pretty gross stuff.
And so now, it is no surprise that my fantasy football name is Fish Tank Fury is my my fantasy football.
I think it's odd that you are making light of that you ruined this woman's life.
Fish genocide. Fish genocide.
She can never go to an aquarium again. Without thinking about you.
I want to track this woman down, and I'll be responsible for your apology.
I would like to apologize to her right now.
Alex, how'd you never tell me that story?
I don't know. Well, I think I let it go deep, you know, in the back, because obviously not very proud of it at the time. Or ever, really. But
he still can tell it with gusto.
I know. And a chuckle in his voice.
You realize this is going out to an audience.
It is. It is weird that you've never told Anderson that story, but not as odd as him never telling us about cutting off a human's penis.
Yeah, I don't know if Alex knows about that. Alex, you know I ever cut?
I don't know.
He cut off a man's penis.
Like a cadaver class? Or
yes,
something, or?
Exactly. Yeah, cut it off. One cut.
What class is this? Is this at Westlake High School?
Yeah, Mrs. Bowman. Yep.
He's also tried to light his penis on fire.
Also tried to light
tonight.
My own dick on fire. Yeah, that was a new one.
Recently,
Alex,
though.
Thank you for completely and totally bringing the show to a whole new low.
Yeah.
making me feel really bad for not only... actually, you know what? The fish that got trapped in the cushions actually were the lucky ones.
Yeah.
And the show has reached a new low.
I got to say, this was not a good story to tell, Anderson.
Fish genocide. Yeah, I have an affinity for fish. And
it's
all
fish, and creatures. He hates poop and butts.
I'm not big on poop stories.
Alex should know that.
And I don't have a love for fish like you do. I don't know where Tyler stands on either one of these issues.
I take or leave them both.
My license plate frame, Alex, when you went to high school with me, my license plate frame said all fishes go to heaven. Mm-hmm. It actually said that.
Yeah, did you try to take a dump on his plate?
Tiburon, something like that.
It also said Tiburon. Yeah, right,
Alex's new name is Jacques Pousteau.
Jacques Pousteau. Alex, you're a horrible person. Terrible, terrible person.
I like that Alex is like, hey, I have a story that'd be good for a podcast.
You know what
Anderson does podcasts.
All right, so Alex used to live with Corey, all right, for a few. Can I tell this story? Actually, you know what? Fuck it. Of course I can tell this story if you just told that story. So Alex lived with Corey. Alex was finally moving out.
Now some dude from Southwest Airlines is going through his pilot directory. Alex.
So Corey had a dog, has a dog named Chase, and they had a little dog run out on the outside, and Chase used to poop out there quite often, and Corey would clean it up about, once a week, once every 2 weeks, so collect out there pretty good before it actually could clean up. And Alex, do you remember your party?
Or he'd go down the street and hire some workers to go clean it up.
Would he do that sometimes?
Yeah, you clean. He's like, it's not that hard, you clean.
Corey's one of the worst human beings in the world. So Alex, he actually asked, he had enough foresight and good sense to ask my opinion about his idea for a partying gift right before he moved out of Corey's, was he was going to go out and leave a little number two amongst the dogs' number twos for Corey, hoping that Corey would go out and clean up all the poo, and then he could tell him afterwards, oh, by the way, one of those shits was mine. And I said, no, Alex, you cannot do that. Don't do that. So he didn't. I told Corey like a month later, and Corey was irate. He's like, dude, I would have fucking had him arrested. Fucking
had him arrested.
That's so fucking mean, dude. Don't get me wrong, but I would have had that fucking dude arrested.
Me and Brokaw would have got him arrested, bro.
Alex, thank you very much.
I didn't know. Corey was such a big character on your show.
We talk about Corey, yeah.
Corey goes way back on this program.
Dude. Almost one episode.
No, the legacy is really the names that I was called in high school, mainly from the Westlake Hills crew. Alex was like the king of all the Westlake Hills guys, kids.
Oh, was I?
You were. You're like the king. You live right there on the
Johnny
corner.
Johnny Brown was like the emperor.
Fucking Johnny Brown.
We got to find that guy and get him on the show.
You guys are like the bullies in Stand By Me.
Yeah, I was bullied. They told me to go home. Then no one liked me. Alex.
Go home, beauty.
Do you remember being... Story lives on. Alex, remember being in Vegas and we were playing the Do Not Bet?
Yeah.
Against Rodman. And we were totally taunting Rodman. Because I got big balls when Alex is around. Because the guy's huge and I got no fear of anybody. So Dennis Rodman was at our craps table, and he was betting with the point, like with everybody else. And Alex and I would like to bet against the table. I talked about this briefly. And we thought it was so funny that we were winning. You're supposed to be quiet and be polite if you're playing Do Not Pass, and everyone else is losing, but we would cheer heartily. And Dennis Rodman did not like us very much at all. Not a fan.
Well, he's losing tens of, you know, thousands of dollars, and here we have, like, you know, like our mid-bet. $12. And we're high-fiving.
Remember he left and he came back and Alex is saying something like, what, did you go get your wedding ring? What do you got left, Rodman? It was good shit.
The shirt off his back.
Yeah, look where he's at now.
All right, Alex, thank you for completely and totally turning off half of our listeners who like fish and animals. And
and half that don't like
the
people
views
shitting
Alex
in fish tanks.
Reflected against,
I think we'll have to have Alex down
it's
in
true,
studio at some point.
Thank you. The views and actions of Alex are not necessarily, what is it?
Not reflect the opinions.
Yeah. I got to say, Alex, you were actually a pleasure to hang out with and stuff, but I really hope someone takes a shit in the cockpit.
All right, guys. All the best. Good luck. Talk soon.
Talk to you,
cheers,
buddy.
See you, Alex.
Bye-bye.
That was gross.
It was awful. That was so typical, Alex, though.
I knew it was going to shit somewhere along that line.
I wasn't sure, but when he told me a fish tank story,
I got to say,
that makes me feel really bad.
I was on the phone, and I just kept hearing out of the other fish tank, shit rolling around.
You were on the phone.
Yeah, for the
you
first
didn't hear
part
the. Okay.
No, I heard the rest.
The I think that is a that story would haunt me forever. The guilt I would feel. That poor girl. For starters, she's having sex with your friend, so you should treat her respectfully. She brought you champagne. She's letting you sleep on her couch. He goes to the bathroom on the carpet, and then he kills all of her fish.
Alex has come a long way. I mean, for a while there, he was just, in the Air Force, and that's how a lot of guys in the Air Force are. They just kind of like, hoorah. And,
but isn't it, it's like a different type of bullying, where you're just putting someone else's feelings and property aside for your own kicks.
Alex is not that guy.
No, I know. He seems like a super
guy. He's a super solid dude. But high school, when we were good friends.
Yeah, 6'5", 260 is pretty solid.
And then he went off to the Air Force Academy. It changed you. Changed you a little bit. Then he came back, and now he's great. We had our differences there for a while.
Do you think we can find Johnny Brown?
I'll tell you what your differences are is that you love fish, and he kills them.
I love animals. I love anything. Jillian, I caught her killing a spider, washing down the drain in Fiji, and she got terrified that I was going to get mad. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, nothing. Don't worry about it. Because there's a giant crab-looking like spider living in our shower.
Yeah, she should kill that thing.
Crab-like?
It looked like a crab. It looked a lot like a crab.
Hey, Anderson.
Go.
What you're doing right now is freaking me out. Yes.
Did you ever... So, did you return the car to the Fiji guy?
All right, so yeah, real quick, so I don't have to revisit
Wait, real quick, Tyler. He's got the lighter. His arm was crossed. The lighter's underneath his armpit, and he's flicking it so the flame comes out.
Yeah, that wasn't worth interrupting.
Against his clothes.
I need to hear...
Hey, look,
he's not wearing...
Retarded.
Yeah.
So... Smell
you're fire retarded.
Did you know that before you lit it?
No, I wasn't sure. He's got a 50% chance.
He just put the flame up to his shirt sleeve. He's like, look, fire retarded.
Well, he lives life on the edge.
I wasn't sure.
What if he would have gone up in flames right now?
I don't care. Tell me about the car.
So I'm the leaving, first defense.
Leaving, I'm on a total high about the shark dive that I just did. But telling you, probably 10% of the time that I was down there, I was thinking about the goddamn car. Right. Because I feel really bad. Also, I'm nervous about how they're going to react.
Yeah.
So I'm driving it back. It's making worse sounds as I go. Like, I have probably about 80 miles to drive back to this car place. I kind of hope they don't listen. And I finally get
you
down.
You know what you should have done? You should have brought a shark with you and put it under the hood and then told the guy, I don't know what's going on, pop the hood. Oh!
Everything's shark
related. I didn't see that shark.
Everything's shark related. And then they pooped in the ocean and all the sharks died. So I finally get to the place. I'm going down that last like 100 yards where it's like, oh, shit, this is a reality. It's about to happen. This is about to happen. I have no idea how it's going to go down, but it's about to turn into the nail salon, restaurant, bar, convenience store. And the owner guy, Zeke, he's out front. He's like, hey, man. I'm like, problem with the car, man. I was just about to drive into town. On my way, it started making this horrible sound. So I immediately turned around. Like, just 5 minutes ago, it started making this awful sound. And he's like, let me see. And he hops in and he immediately throws it into gear. And it makes a terrible sound. He's like, will you come with me? And I'm like, yeah. And then we're driving down a little bit and it makes these awful sounds. He puts it in reverse. He's forcing it to go in reverse. And the car, the tire is locked up. So it's just making this giant skin mark in the gravel. And there's another Indian guy there in a cab with a fare, with a couple people in the back seat. And the Zeke guy says, do you have this car till tomorrow? I said, yeah. He's like, it's going to take a while to fix. Totally cool. I'm like, I don't know what to do. He's terrified that he's going to have to give me part of my money back. So then the other Indian guy in the cab says, hey, you want another car? I got one in my house. Hop in. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I live 10 minutes from here. I'll take it to my house. Next thing I know, I'm in this Indian man's house out by sand dunes. His wife is making me.
And how's the money? How does the money work?
I don't know. His wife is making me orange juice, some kind of juice. And they're already cleaning the car by the time we get there. He drops off his two other fares on the way. They pay him. They say thank you. No meters in any of the cabs, by the way. It's just like, that'll be about $10. It'll be about $20.
This is so beyond.
So I'm in this guy's house, and then I take my shoes off because it's going inside to use the bathroom. And next thing I know, I'm hopping in his minivan. His car. I'm convinced that it's his family car. And he says, have a good one. He says, have a good one. I said, I'll follow you back to town. Now I'm driving. And it's a much, much nicer car, and it's like a minivan. Next morning, I have to go into town to buy some stuff because I'm about to go to a remote village island in the middle of nowhere where they're not going to have any food, and I had to like stock up and get a bunch of like chips and snacks and stuff. So I'm in town the next morning because the car's due back at 8 in the morning. So I'm there at 7:30 in the morning wandering around this town. All of a sudden, this little Indian guy says, hey, how's the car? It's the guy. And he's sitting in his cab. And I said, oh, I got it. I'm about to take it back. He's like, why don't you drive me back and you drop me off? So next thing I know, the cab driver, and I said, why don't you drive? It's your car and you're a cab driver. He's like, that's what I do for a living. Why don't you drive me? So he just leaves his car on the street, his cab car, comes in the car with me. Now I'm driving this cab driver. I'm horrified. I'm terrified of him judging me.
Yes,
I'm driving his car.
Course.
I've already scratched the hubcap pretty good. I feel awful about that. But it's hard to park when you're on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah.
So and he's kind of looking at the hubcap. He gets in.
What I want to know is how'd the money – so you rented from one guy – brought the car back,
yeah,
went to another guy. So was there two separate bills?
There are relatives. No, there was no paperwork. Nothing. No new paperwork when I got this new car.
This is so confusing.
They just handed me the keys.
Confusing.
Too laid back for my Corona.
So I'm driving him back, and I'm terrified. I'm so distracted by the fact that I'm driving a cab driver. I've never driven a cab driver as far as
I'm
concerned.
It'd be like driving a cop.
It'd be like shooting for the cop. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'd be like, I'm handing the gun and me shooting at the perp.
I'd be like, Eric Clapton's like, hey, Mike, can you play guitar for me tonight? I'll just sing.
But, Tyler, I want to ask you something. Do all these stories sound like Anderson went on vacation by himself? Doesn't it seem like
kind of,
that?
Kind of, okay. But we all know.
I got a bunch of car. I'm going to shark diving. I'm going over here. I'm stocking up on food.
Jillian
hangs out.
Like to come to many places. Love you, honey.
Okay, so you're in the minivan now. You're driving the cab.
And I'm driving
back.
Them back to where I got the original car, and I'm thinking they're not even because they're supposed to open at 8. I've been there.
By the way,
eight.
With what Anderson's doing, I wouldn't want to be on this ride with the Indian man.
Jillian would not do well with any of this. Now, this is all Anderson style living, not Jillian style living at all.
This entire trip, I would be thinking I'm about to get killed.
There's a lot of that. So listen, the story's almost over. So I'm so freaked out that he's judging me. I know it sounds stupid, but it's a really nice car for Fiji.
No, absolutely.
I'm terrified that he and I feel really guilty
Fiji?
about the scratch on the hubcap. I feel really bad about that. I'm thinking, is he going to notice that? It's probably like $10. I should have just given the guy $20 and pointed it out, but I didn't want the confrontation. I was so stressed out about driving a taxi driver, his car, and he's probably judging me, that I didn't notice that I was doing it again. I was completely on the wrong side of the road in a busy part of town. He takes the wheel and he just...
Legitimately on the wrong side?
Completely wrong side of the road. Just driving down on the total wrong side of the road. Now, it's not a freeway or anything, but I'm on the wrong side of the road. He just really casually, he's like, wrong side, man. And he takes it and he just kind of gently pulls me back over. I'm like, oh my God. And now I'm really nervous and I feel awful. We go back to drop off the car. The guy's not there, of course. So I just say, here are the keys, man. I just got the fuck out of there.
Driving the cab driver part doesn't make me nervous. Driving the guy that owns the car part. I mean, I
know
it's
the same guy. One of the same.
I know, but the cab part doesn't have any impact on me. But driving a guy's own personal car that you don't know and that you're renting from him makes me very nervous.
How far into these occurrences are you like, at least this will be good for the after disaster?
Yeah,
how many minutes go by before you start thinking to yourself, this could turn into something?
I can definitely relate to the fact that you're down there. One of the things you love in life is marine biology and animals that live underneath the sea. Uh-huh. I guess they're animals, right?
Yeah, they are.
But you're down there with this... This
is the worst show we've ever done. I understand that. And
experiencing this unbelievable, maybe a dream of yours. You're swimming with sharks.
Yes.
And I absolutely relate to, I would be thinking about the rental car.
Here's the thing. Swimming with literal man-eaters. I don't know if these guys were, but I mean, they could fucking kill me at any...
Oh, here she comes.
And the only time I was nervous all day was the car making sounds. That was the only time.
Me too.
Never nervous about the actual sharks. I'm worried about upsetting the Indian family because I messed up their car. And they were so
better than the tire chain story.
So apologetic and so nice. And actually, you know what? I was thinking... while I was driving towards the sharks and it was making that worse sound, I said, at least I can talk about this on the goddamn show.
I find that fish tank story very disturbing.
Very disturbing. Kind of a weird off-road there.
Weird twist.
At least
hey,
it was
seriously,
aquatic.
You lighting yourself on fire is freaking me out.
Let's go.
We got to end the show.
We got to say goodnight.
Wait, I'll show you, though, what happens if you light your wiener.
Ow!
Oh, my gosh. It is two lighters big.